Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast of the World.
Ding, 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 ding.
You are hearing the smooth sounds of Trebuchet's voice right now. It is good to be back, everybody. Speaking of being back, directly to my right, the one, the only, Chad Showtime Schultz. Welcome back, buddy.
Finally, Showtime has come back to the Undisputed Podcast of the World.
How's it going, everybody?
It's going good. Right, the guy walking around behind him is always nervous. Cody Goads, how's it going?
How's it going? Great. Going great. It's going great. Been here the whole time.
Yeah. Dude, you were pacing a hole through the floor.
I know, man.
Were you guys doing lines before I walked?
Just watching. You don't need to know what happened while you weren't here.
Man versus food does weird things to people, Chad.
Apparently.
Sitting directly to Cody Goads' right, the one, the only, always playing solitaire, Brooke the Bruiser, how's it going?
Fine, why would you tell them that?
it's a good hobby.
You're exposing the business.
Oh,
if Cornette was here, he'd get the baseball bat.
That's
like, you know how newscasters never wear pants? You just don't talk about it.
Yeah. Okay. My bad. Everybody just forget about the last 30 seconds. Sitting to her right.
Writing feverishly.
The one, the only, the A train. How's it going?
Better than the B train.
Yeah.
He's got a solid pound of notes over there.
He does. He is noting it up hard. It's like he's cramming for a big exam. But today on the Undisputed Podcast, everybody, we're going to talk about a couple things. We're going to start with 90s promos, and we're just going to break those down because that was, you know, a really great time for the business. More people watched it than ever. Like, it really brought it to the next level. And we're talking everything from WCW, WWE, ECW, and everything in between. And, yeah, just start out with a couple of them. Let's start with one of my favorites, the Brett Screwed Brett interview.
I was just watching that this morning.
It's Vince McMahon talking to Jim Ross. Mm-hmm. After the Montreal Screwjob.
Sporting one hell of a shiner.
One hell of a shiner given to him by Bret Hart. Mm. The way I understand it is Vince gave him a free shot to take a poke at him, and Bret took it, and he just knocked him unconscious.
Yeah,
boom.
It sounds
right
like Vince says in the interview, is, you know, I was really disappointed Bret, you know, hit me.
Yeah.
It's like, just like, you didn't think he was going to hit you? This is the pro wrestling industry.
Yeah, it was a little violent, you know?
Vince McMahon makes a great point in that promo that I guess kind of sums up the whole situation for me, is that Bret Hart, being the traditionalist that he is, wasn't gonna do the right thing when he was supposed to drop the title.
Yeah, he was being a baby, in my opinion.
He points out that, like, you know, Bret Hart is, you know, do everything the old fashioned way, you know, do everything the right way, do things by the book, and then, all right, Brett, you're leaving. Time to drop the bell. Oh, no, I'm not going to drop the bell.
Not in Canada. Can't do it in Canada. Well, why not? Like, you're still working for my company. Mm-hmm. Like, it's my bell. You saw them put the belt in the trash from the women's title. Mm-hmm. Like, no, like...
I forget who said it, but in an interview, they were just like, you know, here's something you could have tried back in Stampede days. Go tell Stu Hart you're not going to drop his belt.
Yeah, right.
And see what would have happened to you.
Yeah, you're not going to get out of there alive. You know what I mean?
Like, and then Bret Hart pulls that. It is worth noting that I've heard Meltzer talk a lot about it, that there was the idea was that, like, Vince was afraid that the World Heavyweight title was going to the WWF title was going to wind up in the trash.
Yeah, you were talking about this in the show before.
Yeah, so it sounds like, when that happened with the women's title, there was, like, major litigation, and WCW paid out the ass for doing that.
Yeah.
It sounds like there was almost zero chance that the WWF title was going to wind up in the trash, and that was kind of like an after-the-fact kind of story as to why Vince was doing what he was doing, but it sounds like, in reality, that was not a big concern. I think Bret Hart definitely handled the situation incorrectly.
Yes.
I'm also hesitant to say, like, Vince McMahon didn't, you know, do anything wrong either. It's his company. Like, I think he's definitely more in the right.
He's in the midst of the Monday Night War here. Like,
sure, it's definitely it's an important.
You don't
time.
Want the WWF champion on WCW, regardless of whether or not he has the belt. You don't want that to be the case.
It's also my understanding. Like, he could not be at WCW on Monday. Like, there's no way he was going to show up on WCW.
No, there was no way. No, they didn't bring him out on WCW until it was a couple weeks later.
Not only did they not, I don't know that they were able to. So, that idea of, like, the WWF champion is going to show up on Nitro the next day, or the belt's going to wind up in the trash on Nitro the next day, wasn't really a thing that could happen.
Mm-hmm.
So, not that Vince McMahon was wrong for what he did, but these ideas that he put up as to why he did it weren't exactly based in fact either.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody that wants to go back and get, like, a look at that situation, one, watch the pay-per-view.
Watch how quickly Earl Hebner runs away.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah. He
ends up in, like, Detroit or something.
He had a getaway car. He didn't change. He had his back. I think he had his bag in the car already, and goes, "You have the car running. I'm just going to hightail it out of that ring, hop in the car, and we're going to go."
I have literally never seen a person leave a wrestling ring so fast. Like, he's like, "I'm out of here."
Yeah, but watch the pay-per-view. And then Bret Hart Wrestling with Shadows was the documentary they were filming at the
time.
That
was really good.
That was a good backstage look at that.
That is, like, all from Bret's point of view. Mm-hmm. Like, goes into, like, the contract. It goes into, like, the behind-the-scenes stuff. They actually have footage of after the screw job just happens, of in the locker room and stuff. It's really interesting stuff.
It doesn't show Bret Hart hitting Vince McMahon. They don't show that. Him leaving the locker room with Vince, like, holding his face.
Yeah. Like, the walk of shame, almost, you can see. Because he got, like, Patterson and Briscoe with him.
Patterson, Briscoe, I think Shane was in the room, too.
Yeah.
There's that classic shot of Vince is outside the ring and Bret just spits on his face.
Yeah. And then he does the WCW.
The WCW in the ring.
And ends up trashing an announce table.
Yeah, no, destroys the announce table. And Shawn Michaels with his Oscar-winning performance of... What's happening?
Yeah.
You didn't.
Yeah.
I don't want this. Which Michaels was in on it the whole time. But,
yeah, he was.
He didn't reveal that until years later.
Oh no, he stood
adamantly,
by it for a while.
He adamantly denied he knew nothing about it. It's funny. A lot of people still believe that was a work.
I
don't believe it. In fact, I would go as far as to say that flat earthers are one thing, but people that believe the screw job was a work are. That's too far for me.
No, I don't believe that at all. Like, it was too well done for it to have been like that, you know?
Well, Bret Hart was also too bitter about it for, like, a long time.
Still didn't come back.
It would have been the best sold angle of all time.
Yeah.
If the screwjob were a work, it would be the best angle ever produced because no one...
could have seen that coming. No way. It sucks that nothing came out of it from the Bret Hart story, though. Like, they had him on WCW, they were just launching Thunder, and they did nothing with him.
Yeah,
he joined the NWO, then they turned on him.
It was nothing. The height of Bret Hart in WCW was Goldberg hitting him with that spear, and then Bret Hart takes the steel plate out from under his hockey jersey. That was pretty cool, but, like, after that, they did nothing.
Nothing with him, and he was, like... a great wrestler, which is what they needed at the time, and like another top guy, because like if you watch Thunder, it was like top guy was Booker T as the television champion or something. Mm-hmm. Like, because like the NWO, they only had like, you know, select amount of dates that they would work, and like Hogan would never be there.
Yeah, they weren't doing. I think Hogan might have been on one or two Thunders like at the beginning.
Thunder was a joke of a television show. That's a whole nother episode of the Undisputed Podcast.
Absolutely. But yeah, it's just Bret Hart had all that momentum going in, and they didn't really do anything with it.
They didn't know what they were doing. They were like, "Ha, we got him."
That was the moment the Bret screwed Bret promo was like. That was when everyone knew that wrestling wasn't real. Like, that was Vince exposed the business on that one.
Yeah.
And it was an interesting time. I don't think. I don't know that you can ever undo what he did there. You can't put the toothpaste back in the tube on that one.
I believe that this is the start of, like, the Mr. McMahon character.
Oh, it's absolutely the start.
Vince really McMahon. Where Vince McMahon decided that, all right, people are going to understand that this is my company, and they're going to hate me for the bad decisions that I have to make. We're going to roll with
it. Even Jim Ross goes, because Vince McMahon opens with, you know, Brett screwed Brett.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't take any responsibility. And Jim Ross goes, you know, there's, you know, half of America's groaning right now at you not taking any responsibility. Yeah.
Jim Ross, great interviewer. Speaking of another one of his interviews, Mick Foley one, when Mankind was interviewed one-on-one, it's one of the moments where Vince McMahon bought into Mick Foley.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the way that Jim Ross presented Mick Foley on TV was that he's having the time of his life. Mm-hmm. He's in pain. He's smiling. Whereas during this particular promo, he goes, you make it sound like I'm having the time of my life, and then he ends up, like, hitting himself, and, like, it hurts when, like, I'm in pain and stuff, and you make it sound like I'm having the time of my life. It was really intense, and he ends up eventually giving the mandible claw to Jim Ross.
It was the first time Jim Ross had been involved physically in an angle like that.
Yeah, I was they
got Jim Ross help to, you know, get Foley over like that, and it was kind of like a favor to Foley from Ross.
Yeah.
It was a very intense promo. Still not even of my favorites, though.
No, really?
I was watching some old ECW promos this morning.
Oh, you're talking Foley in particular?
Yes, okay. Foley in particular.
Yes.
The Kane Dewey promo.
Oh my god, that one is so good.
That was so good.
You can see the emotion.
He is on another level. Just, you know, talking about, you know, Terry Funk's beating the piss out of him, and all of a sudden he looks in the crowd and sees Kane Dewey.
And for those of you that don't know, Dewey is Mick Foley's
son. He was three at the time.
Yeah, just very. People were ruthless back then, especially the ECW fans.
Yeah.
They were very bloodthirsty, and Mick Foley himself says that they asked too much of the pro wrestlers. Yeah. And
he talks about, you know, he sees that sign and he, like, leaves his body. He's no longer feeling Terry Funk ripping him apart. He's just so heartbroken. And the whole point of the promo is he's talking to Tommy Dreamer.
Yeah.
And Tommy Dreamer, I guess, had received a phone call from WCW saying, hey, come work for us.
Yep.
And he said no. And the whole point of the promo was Mick Foley telling Tommy Dreamer, you know, you're a fool for not not saying yes. And he's like, oh, you know, if I have to drag you to that phone call lifeless to, you know, call Eric Bischoff and say you take his job, you know, it's what I'll have to do. You know, he talks about, you know, those fans that chant, he's hardcore. He's hardcore. They wouldn't piss on you if you were on fire, Tommy Dreamer.
Loved it. And it was great, too, because the Mick Foley angle was that he loved the other businesses. He didn't want to be in ECW. Mm. He loved WWF.
He talks about, you know, hey, he had burned his bridges in WCW, and, you know, I have to listen to my, you know, my son say every day, I miss Atlanta, Daddy. I know. But we turned in the Victorian house for a sweatbox in Long Island. And it's just this impassioned promo and Mick Foley was just on another level. But if you go back and watch those ECW promos, a lot of them were like that.
They were. They were raw. They were in your face.
Steve Austin's first promo in WCW, that when he goes, you know, he talks about, you know, being fired on the phone by Eric Bischoff.
Yeah.
I think it was the best promo of his career. Take all the Stone Cold stuff and throw it away. Superstar Steve Austin in ECW, that promo about, you know, getting a phone call from Eric Bischoff where he just fired him.
Yeah.
And that, you know, there's no Ric Flairs in ECW, and there's no Eric Bischoffs in ECW, and no one can stop me from being what I'm supposed to be. And Steve Austin, just it's that face shot of him just looking in the camera, those icy blue eyes, and you just feel every word of it.
Because it's true. Like, Austin was injured at the time. Like, he couldn't wrestle, and Heyman, by the grace of God, found out that he was fired and picked him up and kept, like, the biggest superstar, like, ever just in ECW for as long as he could. It was awesome. Austin also did the Monday Night NyQuil thing.
Yeah.
And then, he made fun of Steve Mongo McMichael with Bongo. that stuff was great. He was comedic, actually, which is something that you wouldn't expect from Stone Cold Steve Austin.
It was funny, but it was, like, bitter. Everything he had, he presented himself as funny, but everything had this bitter undertone to it that just, it gave it that extra level where just like, oh, he's saying funny things and he's here and he wants to get over it, but he's still so angry, and you could feel that.
Yeah.
That it all felt real.
And people could relate to it too. Who wouldn't be pissed off because they just got fired over the phone? Like, that's like every man's like nightmare. Like, that's bullshit. You couldn't even say it to my face. Like,
well, the ECW fans were presented as outsiders.
Oh yeah.
The
ECW promotion it's a cult following.
And that wrestlers would come in after being rejected by the other promotions as outsiders, and it just had this counterculture feel to it, which is what they were going for.
Well, they describe it themselves as the locker room was the land of misfit toys. It was like WWE didn't want them, WCW didn't want them, but they're still here, and these hardcore fans love them because they all love the business. You know what I mean? Because some of it was about blood and guts, but like Mick Foley, he would put guys in an armbar because people wanted to see people tear each other apart. He's like, no. They had guys like Benoit Guerrero tear it down, like wrestling-wise, like...
Well, and Paul Heyman goes.
It was everything.
Paul Heyman gave those guys the opportunity to speak freely. You know, there's you've seen Barely Legal, the first ever ECW paper.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
RVD cuts that promo in the ring after his match.
He was pissed. He wasn't even supposed to be on the card.
No, he filled in for injury, and the whole locker room was pissed because the poster for that was just Taz Sabu.
Yeah.
So the whole locker room's mad, and then RVD's even madder because he's not supposed to be on the pay per view, and he wins his match with Lance Storm. Gets on the mic and just, you know, I wasn't even supposed to be here tonight. I'm the best athlete in ECW, and I'm not even considered good enough to be on their pay-per-view, you know, and he goes, you know, winning here makes me worth more money here and more money elsewhere, and I love to work Monday nights.
Yep. He's just pretty much like, hey, here and I am.
It makes me sad that RVD never got to cut promos like that elsewhere.
Yeah, RVD, no, they limited him in WWE. He was all like, cool. Whatever. Like, they gave him, like, 8 words he could say. Like,
yeah, well, it wasn't that... So, RVD said he didn't want to be an angry guy. He didn't want to yell at people and,
like,
you know...
He would be like, let me tell you something, brother. He didn't want to be angry,
but he didn't not want to talk either. There's, I think it was... He said, like, in an interview one time, he's like... He had just got into the company, and... Oh, Jericho is champ at the time. And he was, I guess they wanted Rob Van Dam to be angry. He's like, I don't want to be angry. I'm not an angry guy. Why? You've got 50 angry guys on this roster. Why do I need to be angry?
Exactly.
And like, I guess Jericho was like, you know, just trying to get him mad. And at one point he goes, you know, what if I hit on your wife, Rob? And it really pissed him off. He's like, why would you even say that? You know, why? And he goes out and he's supposed to do, something with a belt. Or no, he's supposed to throw the belt on Jericho after he hits a 5-star frog splash. And he goes in the ring and he hits it. He forgets all about the belt. Like, he forgets to pick it up and throw it at him.
Really?
Because he's so mad.
Oh, really? He's still mad from that.
You can see on his
face
he's just angry.
That's crazy.
And he missed his spot because he was so mad. But I feel like Rob Van Dam was one of the underappreciated promos that came out of ECW.
Mm-hmm.
He just never... He was a great athlete. He did great things everywhere else, but he didn't get... He didn't get to talk.
No, which is unfortunate, but he still got it done in the ring.
Absolutely,
he had did some great things in Elimination Chamber, which we will get to later. Not quite there yet, but since we're on ECW, we can't not talk about Paul Heyman, like himself cutting promos because like
promos in the ring, promos in the back.
Yeah, he was liquid. He was just walking motivation for those guys. I don't know what to say. Like when they were trying to kick him off of TNN, like, Heyman was, like, trying to egg him on to get kicked off so he could renegotiate to keep his company afloat. And it was awesome. It was just everything. Like, even now, Heyman, like, you hear him talk, and I'm just all like, okay.
He's the best promo in the business ever.
He will make you want to see, like, I don't know, like, me wrestle, like... A stick, like yeah,
He can talk people into the arena, and he talks to Brock Lesnar, which is great. Brock Lesnar can talk, but far from the best promo in the world.
Yeah,
and Paul Heyman just he can sell these things, and I think he worked with a lot of the guys on those promos. I think a lot of those guys have Paul Heyman to thank for both the freedom to say what they wanted in their promos and the help getting there.
Mm-hmm.
also in ECW, the Dudleys.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, those guys...
Was it before the stutter? Not really.
Yeah,
like that?
Yeah. No, I think it was after the stutter.
After the stutter?
Yeah, it was... But when Bubba started, you know, they were starting riots every night. Just,
oh, my God. They could just, like...
You've seen that...
piss off a crowd.
What was it from? It's that clip of, like, the Dudleys just, you know... Devon, you know, if I've said it once, I've said it a million times. You're the most degenerate, inbred, you know.
Oh, my God. They read him the riot act. It was great.
You know, Bubba gets on the mic. You know, there's the crack whore mom in the front row teaching her daughter how to suck dick. Like, just do the most vile, disgusting things you could say to people. Mm. And they're just trying to get him going every time.
And they did. People wanted to see these guys get it, like, so bad. And they were hardcore. Like, it's why Bubba ended up becoming the leader of Aces and Eights, right, Chris Goad?
Yeah. The only reason.
Going to the Hall of Fame this year.
Yeah. Shout out to them. Three claps for the Dudleys. 1, 2, 3. Let's talk about Austin 316. Michael Hayes' shining moment of the Attitude Era. it was after King of the Ring.
Mm-hmm.
Austin just beat Jake the Snake. Mm-hmm. Pretty much says, get that piece of trash out of my ring.
Austin actually missed... for some reason, he wasn't there for some of it. He didn't hear Jake cuts like a promo about coming to Jesus earlier in the night.
Okay.
And he asks, I think, Michael Hayes. He goes, what did Jake say in his promo? He talks about, you know, God. And he goes, Austin goes, I know what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
You know, he just came up with what he wanted to say at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, goes out there and, you know, you talk about your Psalms, you talk about your John 3:16. Well, Austin 3:16 says, I just kicked your ass.
And the rest is history.
No, exactly. That's
right after that, Austin 3:16 there.
Everywhere.
Like, just, it was freaking, it was water bottle 3:16.
It was the new Hulk.
It was just gloves 3:16. Everything.
It was the new Hulkamania.
It really was. It really was. And then Stone Cold Steve Austin cut some awesome promos after that. Like, I remember the one where him and Vince went back and forth about Austin being hurt and couldn't get in the ring, and then which eventually led to him, Vince, getting stunned, and the crowd just popped after that. Another guy who could cut a promo at any time. The Rock.
Oh, yeah.
Like, both intense, funny, and dramatic all at the same time. Like, The Rock is a roller coaster to listen to. Like, in the land of catchphrases, The Rock is champ. Like,
oh, absolutely.
He got a show named after him. Like, SmackDown is something The Rock used to say, like, all the time. Yeah. I'm gonna lay the smack down. Layeth the smacketh down when he was talking Shakespeare-esque. It caught on. It was wonderful.
I think he is so Paul Heyman, I think, is the best promo ever, but not as a wrestler. I think The Rock as a wrestler is probably the best competitor.
I don't think that anybody else could make Rudy Poo Candy Ass sound cool. I don't feel like anybody else can make that sound cool.
he was pop culture. Like, I think I would go as far to say that Rock was a bigger star than Austin.
I don't think so. I think Austin was bigger than The Rock.
In pro wrestling. In what way is Austin better than The Rock?
Just fan appeal. Fans love Stone Cold. Like, I feel like Austin was the everyman. Like, you know what I mean? People who didn't watch wrestling knew Stone Cold. But now you could say that with The Rock. Like, it's a good argument here, but...
Austin was the everyman, but Rock was the cool guy you wanted to
be. He was the people's champion.
Shout out to me being the people's champion, hopefully in you know, pretty soon in my comedy competitions.
Absolutely.
I'm trying to win those crowd votes. I want to be Grand Rapids... you know,
funniest
champion.
Person in Grand Rapids.
I want to be the people's champ. but I think The Rock was the cool guy you wanted to be. You associated yourself with Austin, but you wanted to associate with yourself with The Rock.
That's fair, but like, it's just I just can't. People don't pop like they do when they hear the glass shatter. Like, just the arena can just you can just be dead silent. You hear the glass and just everybody. It's not just like. There's three Austin fans and this guy sitting or whatever. It's everybody. Like,
You don't think the pop's just as big for if you smell. You don't think it gets the same.
The pop? Rock's got haters, particularly Cody Goads over here.
Yeah, I don't like
hates the Rock.
Whoa. Whoa. It's not that you.
The funny thing is, I agree with you.
It's
on
not.
This point.
It's not that you like. It's not that the. It's not that the Rock. You like the Rock better. It's that the Rock is better.
Yeah.
It's
I
not,
agree with that.
You would go out. You would go out and have a beer with Stone Cold before you'd have a beer with the Rock because the Rock's gonna. You know, call you a jackass and you laugh at you, and Austin might have a beer with you. But like, I think the pop, I think overall selling value, The Rock is better. And I think we, movie careers, Austin was in The Condemned, The Rock was in everything else. There's a movie, they're making a movie where The Rock is Die Hard, except they hacked off John McClane's leg, and The Rock is playing that role, and it's going to sell millions of dollars.
When you're watching the news at 3 a.m., who is that Diane Macedo pretending to be?
That's
the
all,
Rock.
That's all fair.
Not
and good.
No Stone Cold.
I'm just saying Austin's up 2-1 in wrestling matches, guys. I'm just saying if we're going based on wrestling, Stone Cold's got the winning record, guys, and a pretty awesome podcast too. Like he does stuff, but I don't feel like I'm gonna win this argument because everybody's just like,
you are getting death glares.
I am getting looks now. I'm gonna do a side by side comparison. I will
That's
get back
to all
of you
someday.
Guys. Yeah. Rock versus Austin. Yeah, so I could talk about this for a while.
I guess calm down tensions now.
Yes, back to promos. Let's talk about Hulk Hogan in the WCW. When he started the NWO, one of my favorite things in wrestling ever. This is the moment that drew me in. That Bash at the Beach pay-per-view where Hogan was the third man, and then Mean Gene comes in and interviews the new NWO, and Hogan goes, "These fans can stick it." And I've never seen crowd that wanted to riot in my life than that particular moment.
You better tell these fans if they want some answers, Mean Gene, they better sit down and shut up. And they're coating the ring with trash.
Everything. They're just throwing everything at
them. Hogan takes like a bottle of pop to like a cup of pop to like the face, doesn't he? Like it.
Gene
bounces off their face.
Yeah, Gene even goes, "Look at this trash in here. These fans are disgusted with you, Hulk Hogan." And they were. Like, I could not freaking handle that. I was all like,
that was,
it's time to watch Monday. Like
that was definitely the best of WCW. The promos and the Hogan, you know, turning heel.
Well, like I remember every Nitro, Hogan would come out and no matter who his opponent would be, he'd be like, "I'm gonna crucify you," and I was like, "Whoa!" Like that is like seriously violent. And for Hulk Hogan, the say your prayers, eat your vitamins, like. Ultimate good guy to say he's gonna crucify Lex Luger is a little intense for 11-year-old Trebuchet to handle. Let me tell you. I was like, why is he saying these things? What did we do?
What did we do?
But like, it wasn't just that for Hogan though.
I
didn't say like
my prayers last night.
the beef he had with Vince Russo, like when.
So I was gonna get in. So I think Hogan turning heel was like the best of the promos, but. Go back and listen, like when he gets into Vince Russo, that is, it's hard to watch. So
it's very uncomfortable.
In comparison to an ECW, when everything felt real but was still worked.
Yeah.
There was this. It's like it was worked, but they were trying to make it seem
like it's part of the script.
I mean,
like,
so
they wanted it to feel that way, but it did not.
So I was literally I watched about 20 minutes of clips from basically. Hulk Hogan cutting that promo with Jeff Jarrett, Vince Russo responding, and like the background of all of that. Was it Bash at the Beach where the Jarrett Hogan thing happened?
I think it was. I think it was Bash at the Beach.
And it's like five times in there on live TV they point out, they're like, "Well, if this was really real," and they expose the business to such a degree, it's like, why am I even watching? Like, is a devout wrestling fan, like, they're just shitting all over kayfabe here. Mm-hmm. Like, they might as well admit, like, "Oh, this is all just a big hoax." And it
was like one of the lowest points in wrestling history. It was really terrible.
And so they, so the story behind that being, you know, so you know, Hogan, it's supposed to be Hogan Jarrett.
Yep.
For the title. Vince Russo really wants Booker T to leave the building with the title. He wants Booker T as champ.
Okay.
Hogan's not gonna job to Booker T. He's not gonna. He said, you're gonna win the title from Jarrett, and you're gonna fight Booker T for the title, and you're gonna lose. Hogan will not do it. Hogan has creative control on his contract. Hogan's not going for it.
Okay.
And Vince Russo kind of manipulates Hogan into this situation where, according to Vince Russo, where Jeff Jarrett lays down for Hulk Hogan.
Right.
Hulk Hogan and Eric Bischoff get pissed.
Yeah.
And leave the building.
Yeah.
Hulk Hogan leaves the building with a title. Vince Russo comes out, cuts a scathing promo on Hogan, and then books Jarrett versus Booker T for the title, saying Hulk Hogan's not champ, he stripped the title, he left the building.
Yeah.
And then Booker T is champ. So Vince Russo gets what he wants, and it leads to something else further down the line, which Hulk Hogan never came back.
Hulk Hogan left the company,
So according to Vince Russo, and I would just like to say, Vince Russo's a scumbag, and I don't know that I can take anything what he's saying is truth. This is his story.
Mm-hmm.
So take it what it's worth. According to Vince Russo, he said, Hogan, you're going to leave the building with a title. We're going to book another match. We're going to have Booker T as champ. Hogan goes, oh yeah, me and Booker can fight for the real title later. Vince goes, sure, I'll call you tomorrow.
Mm.
He meets with the head of Turner Broadcasting on Monday the next day. I forget whose name that is. It's dropped several times on WCW2, but that guy's name, I forget who it is. But basically he says, don't call Hogan, we can't afford him. We're hurting for money. Hogan wants too much. He's a politician. He's not doing business. We can't afford him. Don't call him.
Wow.
So Hogan never comes back. But the promo itself is, you know, Vince comes out to the ring, tells Jarrett to lay down.
Yeah.
Jarrett lays down. Hogan, you know, grabs him like, you know, this is the reason the company's in, you know, the damn shape is in because of shit like this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Hulk Hogan swearing on the live mic was,
yeah,
you know, people were ready for that. And then, you know, Vince Russo comes out later, you know, you'll never see that bald son of a bitch on TV ever again. And you can't call Hulk Hogan bald.
No, he...
You can't do that.
Oh, man. Like, yeah. You want to piss off Hulk Hogan.
He's funny about that.
He's really sensitive about it. Don't bring it up.
So there was actually... There was a lawsuit about it. He sued WCW for calling him bald.
I believe that.
But yeah, I'm a big fan of shoot promos. I think a lot of people are.
I love them.
I think it blurs the lines. It makes things seem real. Mm-hmm. And it gives you a look into the backstage politics. These are just... They jump the shark so hard.
This is the moment I knew WCW was dead. You lose Hulk Hogan, you're done. That was the only, thing they had left.
You can just see in the crowd... When, you know, so Jeff Jarrett leaves down and Hulk Hogan puts a foot on it and pins him. The crowd is not eating this up.
They're just like,
They're not fucking having, again.
They paid. That's the way it felt.
Yeah, they paid a lot. Well, even on commentary, I forget who it was, goes, is it Halloween Havoc all over? Because that's where Hulk Hogan gave Kevin Nash the finger poke.
Yep. Yeah, that's what I was thinking about.
And the fans are just...
Do they do that more often?
Yeah, the fans are just like, this is bullshit.
They treat us like we were stupid, man.
Yeah, they're in here. They're in here, you know, figuring out who's is bigger. Well, we're supposed to be watching wrestling, and it feels like it was an insult to the fans.
Mm-hmm.
And their ratings, you know, show that that's how they felt.
Yeah. Yeah, it was quite the time, everybody, let me tell you.
Yeah, Vince Russo was trying to do that. Especially when he put himself on air. There's the one, he, you know, cuts a promo on Goldberg.
Mm-hmm.
And Goldberg, you know, comes out and, like, fights Tank Abbott. I guess Tank Abbott was, like, Vince Russo's bodyguard at the time.
Hmm.
Vince Russo's using every curse word in the book on, like, live TV.
Yeah,
And the commentary's like, are we still on the air? Like, someone had to have thrown us off by now. Like,
this is so ridiculous.
This is 2000 and you say shit on live TV, like, five times. Like,
yeah,
how are we still on TV? Like...
You could just see the writing on the wall. I felt really bad for Ric Flair and Sting, who were there for, like, ever.
Yeah,
the whole thing come to a great,
They had the last match in WCW, and it was Sting-Flair.
Was it Sting? Well, I know that was their last match. I thought
it was
Booker T and Scott Steiner.
Was it? Okay, I thought...
Because I thought they had the title match at the end, but I'm not sure.
I could be wrong. I thought for sure Sting versus Flair.
That match happened on the card. I know Steiner Booker T did, and then Shane on Nitro also happened on that episode. I don't know the chronological order of it. But, yeah, that's WCW.
Vince Russo sucks.
Oh, yeah. Come at me, Russo. See what happens.
We watched that episode of Monday Night Wars where they gave David Arquette the title. I saw the whole backstory to that.
Oh, my God.
He's like, yeah, we're going to give you the title. And he's like, I don't think I should have a title.
Like, how is David Arquette more smart about the wrestling business than Vince Russo? What the hell? Like, come on now.
I love that he, if you follow Vince Russo on Twitter, I don't recommend it, but
I do.
I do.
At Trebuchet LOL does, I'm sure at Showtime Schultz does.
I do. He hasn't blocked me yet. I've said some things to him. I'm waiting for that. I want him to be the first person to block me on Twitter. First person. Never happened before. I want Vince Russo to be the first. If you're listening to this, please make it happen.
Yeah, make it happen.
Make a blind guy's dreams come true. he still like adamantly defends that this decision to like put the belt on Arquette. Like he still thinks that was the right thing to do.
It was on the cover of USA Today. Yeah. Whole argument.
Yep. Yeah. No. It was. It got mainstream attention. You know, or like we didn't need mainstream attention. It needed wrestling. It needed to get over in wrestling. It didn't need to get over on the New York Times.
It's not like it was an NBA player, an athlete. This is an actor from a movie. Not,
you can do that with NBA players and get the same attention.
It got over because it was ridiculous, not because it was cool.
It's ugh. Disgusting. But back to the task at hand. Let's talk about a couple more promos here. DX, and particularly their rebirth, when Michaels got knocked out by Tyson, WrestleMania, Triple H pretty much had to come out and kill it. Like, this was make or break time for Triple H. He had to put the shit back together, and ultimately ends up bringing out Sean Walton, X-Pac, my main man.
Brought you back.
And just, he killed it and never looked back, and DX was huge after that.
It was great. I prefer the DX promo where they were just getting started, where it's Sean and Triple H in the ring. Vince is like a commentary, and they show like a clip of like the MSG incident. You know, he talks about, you know, we made an ass out of you there, Vince. Ah, no, you've been an ass the whole time. You know, talks about how like, you know, we had to apologize to all those people after that, but we weren't really sorry because we knew what was best, and you know, going against the grain was the right thing to do.
Oh yeah, it got to the point where DX would get yelled at every week by Vince. Like,
yeah, they were constantly.
It got to the point where the USA Network sent them that letter of words they couldn't say, and then DX
would, you know,
they took it on TV,
went
with
out
them,
and said all the words,
and they read it. Like, it was wonderful. Like, between the hours of 9 and 10, we won't say words like shit, damn, fuck, like, but they're bleeping them all the whole time. And like,
Sean, watch your fucking mouth. Well, fuck me.
Like, God damn it. It was hilarious.
But it ends up like the USA Network ends up like the ratings went up so much. Like, no, that was actually really
good.
They
loved
good.
It.
But,
they loved it.
Yeah, like, they're getting, you know, FCC complaints, but they're also making money hand over face.
So it was hard to stay.
You know,
back
that was a border
guys.
Decision. They're like, FCC money.
Yeah, like we can afford the fines and then some at the way the ratings are going up.
Absolutely. All right, we got to talk about one of the highest rated promos ever. This Is Your Life.
The highest rated promo.
Or what?
I think it was the highest rated thing on Raw.
That's great.
Right?
Yeah. This Is Your Life. Mick Foley talking about The Rock's life. And this was kind of a shoot promo because, like, there was no script to this. If you look, Mick Foley brings out The Rock's, like, third grade teacher, and he says a name, and the graphic is not the name. Like,
yeah.
Didn't, was it Alexa Bliss or someone do it recently?
Somebody tried to redo it.
It was the women's did it.
It was real bad.
This was
it was actually, it was like, it was, according to Vince McMahon, it was like a debacle. Like, he was really angry at how bad it went.
Yeah, it went real bad.
Yeah, it was Alexa Bliss for Bayley.
It was like a bunch of, groaner jokes. Yeah. One after another.
As a wrestling fan, it just goes, oh my God, I can't believe we're doing this. Okay, let's choke it down. Because we watch all the pro wrestling, but we don't have to enjoy it.
Yeah.
It's a roller coaster ride out here, everybody. But this particular thing was great. It went long. Vince was pissed in the back. But then the ratings came out the next day, and I guess he was, oh, never mind.
It's yeah, cool. No, it's fine. Yeah.
It's fine. Good job, guys. Getting all the big numbers out there. It yeah. was funny. It, like, the Rock and Sock Connection themselves were great together because, like, had some of the bloodiest battles, like Royal Rumble Rock versus Mankind was just like...
My favorite, one of my favorites is still the I Quit match. Between Rock and Mankind?
Yeah, yeah. I think it's the same match I'm talking about.
Is it? Was that? I forget.
Mick gets handcuffed and everything.
Yeah, and Rock bounces a chair off his head 6 times.
Yeah.
No, he can't cover up.
The finish was really cool because Mick cut a promo saying the words, I quit a bunch, and they used that. So, like, he didn't actually say them. They played it.
Yeah, they played the clip.
The sound and everything. It was wonderful because Mick had a gripe. He's all like, I never said I quit because you didn't. Like, I didn't think he would ever say I quit because he was...
Yeah, like, his head's in the entrance ramps. So you can't see him talking.
Yeah, his hair's over his face and everything. Like, it was really well done.
There's, actually, on Beyond the Mat, they cover that.
Yeah.
That, no, like, thing, and they show, like, his kids,
yeah,
kids,
that
like,
angle.
Freaking
his
out.
Wife is crying. They, yeah, like, had to leave. Like, it, I was like, oh, man.
Well, Mick Foley talks about, you know, I didn't want to be the guy that pulled the sock out of his trunks. I wanted to be, like, the hardcore guy. And he's like,
yeah.
I see my kids crying like that. Maybe I'm content to be the guy who pulls the sock out of his trunks. Like.
It was like, you could hear it as he's like, I don't feel like a good dad anymore.
Yeah,
like,
you told it really bothered him to see
it. It did. Like, it did bother me to watch, honestly, because, like, you know, Mick Foley, like, behind the scenes is, like, the coolest guy. Like,
those were sickening chair shots. He's
handcuffed.
He cannot cover up. The only thing he can do is stick his chin in his chest. And trying to get his neck broken.
Yeah, pretty much.
But he's taking the full force of those chair shots to the head.
Yeah, Rock really, really laid into him.
Yeah, Rock, he was like, I'm going to hit you like twice.
Yeah.
Hit him like 5 times. I think he went in the back of the floor. He was like, what the fuck? Why didn't you? You said twice.
Yeah, for real. Come on, Rocky. Don't be a bully. But yeah, after all that, they became a tag team. And they won the tag team championships, and it was great. It was because The Rock was so, like, I'm too cool to be in this
tag team.
Yeah,
The Rock was too cool for school, and like, Mick Foley was just, like, the nerd.
The funniest parts of that was when Mick would steal The Rock's catchphrases, and The Rock would just be all like, don't you ever, and The Rock, and then he would do it again, and then, like, oh my God, because it worked. It worked so well. One more guy or group I want to talk about is The Brood, who were Edge, Christian, and Gangrel.
Mm-hmm.
And they were cool. They had a really cool entrance and everything.
One of the coolest entrances that between the Ring of Fire coming up through the ground, the music was insane. They had, like, the blood chalice. Come with the white shirts all bloody.
Very cult-like, you know what I mean? And Edge and Christian came out, and they... Like, Gangrel was an afterthought eventually, and for the benefit of Flash Photography, here we are. They became these goofy-ass guys and cut some of the funniest promos, like, ever.
Edge is one of the best promos.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
You can go to his Rated R Superstar stuff. You can go to...
Yeah, near the top. No, definitely near the top of the list. And, I found most of the stuff as The Brood was kind of meh.
Yeah.
But, like, they came so far from the... It was funny, because Edge didn't talk for so long. He was supposed to... Like, I think that the storyline, like, he was, like, mute.
Mm.
He couldn't talk as a vampire.
Gangrel did, like, most of the talking for this group, based on what I remember. And, yeah. So that was a good one to talk about, guys. But all right, since we are in the heart of Elimination Chamber times, everybody, we're going to go ahead and discuss previous Elimination Chambers, the moment the A-Train's been waiting for. Clearly. You know, an Encyclopedia Britannica over here on the Elimination Chamber.
Like, you could have just kept Wikipedia up on your phone. You didn't have to write it down.
I just like having it all in front of me because my phone is very finicky. The touch screen on it's going out, so sometimes it'll be like, oh, you want to tap this? No, I was trying to scroll. And then sometimes when I'm trying to scroll, it does not scroll. So it's better for me to have it written down.
All right.
But yeah,
how about three claps for A Train's studious abilities?
Yes,
yes, nice well job.
I wish you guys could see what this looks like.
I will tweet it out later.
Tweet it out.
I'll tweet it out later, everybody.
But yeah, no, I've got here listed all of the previous 20 Elimination Chamber matches, from the first one that was made in 2002,
mm-hmm.
when it was created by Triple H and introduced by Eric Bischoff. And that was for the World Heavyweight Championship.
True.
And that was actually Shawn Michaels, Triple H, Chris Jericho, Kane, Booker T, and Rob Van Dam.
Yeah.
With Shawn Michaels taking the championship that night.
Bloody badass. Yeah,
they were bleeding in that.
Oh fight. My lord.
One of the worst injuries. Like it didn't really affect his career too much, but you can see. When Rob Van Dam goes off one of the pods.
Yeah, he goes all the way up.
Yeah, he goes to the top rope and says, "Nah, I'm going to go up to the top of the pod," hits a five-star frog splash, and hits Triple H in the throat.
Yep.
And
crushes his larynx.
Yeah, Triple H is selling his throat the entire time, just clutching his throat. There's a shot of Triple H laying on the ground, and his throat is just swollen like crazy.
He does not look like he's in good shape. He's a bloody mess, just... cringing.
And he
over.
Finishes the match.
Yeah, he does.
He goes all the way.
Started.
All the way. Yeah,
he started the match,
and he was the last one to get eliminated.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. Fun part about this match: King of the World, Chris Jericho. That angle was so like I loved it so much because he would just like do something, be like, "I'm the King of the World."
And then after that, that was November 17th, 2002. The next one was August 24, 2003, SummerSlam. And that was again, Triple H was in that one again with Goldberg, Chris Jericho, Shawn Michaels, Randy Orton, and Kevin Nash. So essentially half the same people.
Yeah.
We had Triple H winning that one and retaining his championship at SummerSlam.
I believe he beat Goldberg.
Yeah, first time Goldberg was pinned in WWE, I think.
Yeah. I believe didn't they... Flair give him a sledgehammer in this one.
Yeah, no, he slides the sledgehammer in through the grating.
The thing I remember from this one is Goldberg spearing some. I think it was Triple H through one of the pods.
Yeah, someone does get speared through one because they present the pods as bulletproof glass.
Yeah, they did that for the first four, and then like they stopped saying it was bulletproof after that.
Because when you put so many people through it,
yeah.
You can stop these darn bullets that kill people, but not Goldberg. Which is fair.
Going
is
a
fair.
Lot slower than bullets.
Yeah, this was not nearly as good a match as the first one.
They tore the house down.
It had Kevin Nash in it, and Kevin Nash was past his prime. At
definitely
this point.
Not moving around good.
Old world order.
He would. Yeah, he got hurt pretty quickly after this too, didn't he? He wasn't around.
Me out or something.
Yeah, he wasn't. Yeah, he wasn't around very long. He was blowing on his quads or something.
Yeah, it was not a good run for him.
Oh, no, I think it was... Didn't Triple H do Hell in a Cell against Kevin Nash, I think, after this?
Oh, yeah, that was Foley as the referee or something? Or...
So this is SummerSlam... I want to... Yeah, I'm trying
I know
to
the match
pay-per-view.
You're talking
yeah,
about.
You,
yeah,
no,
yeah.
yeah, Mick Foley was referee for that.
That was not a good match either.
No, because Shawn Michaels at the end tries to come out and give him a handshake,
mm-hmm.
and Kane comes out and crushes Shawn Michaels' larynx.
Oh, really?
Do you remember that?
Not really.
So, it was one of the... Shawn Michaels was doing something, had to be away from the business, and Kane was pissed about something. I think he might have lost his mask that night, actually.
Okay.
Might have been the last night he lost his mask. He comes out, and he's like, he would tuck the chair in between, like, right under your chin.
Yeah.
And he'd come off the top rope.
Ugh,
yeah.
So brutal.
They did the old condom filled with stage blood in your mouth. So you bite it, and that was, you'd be, like, bleeding all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they would do that. But, it was pretty grisly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then after that, we have the January 2005 New Year's Revolution.
Yes.
With Triple H, Randy Orton, Batista, Chris Jericho, Chris Benoit, and Edge, with special guest referee Shawn Michaels. That's HBK.
Yes. New Year's Revolution. Now, was the first one, was this the one where Edge comes out afterwards? Or?
No, that was the next one.
The next one, okay.
Yeah, that one had
John Cena wins this one?
John Cena wasn't in it, Batista
Triple
wins.
H won this one as
Triple
well.
H won this one as well?
I thought Batista won this one.
Nope.
No!
There's more.
This was New Year's Revolution.
Yeah.
Okay, so he would go on to win the title at Mania that year, I think.
Okay, yeah.
Because I don't think Triple H and Batista were feuding yet.
No, I think they were still.
I think they were still in Evolution together.
They're still part of Evolution together. I think they were like two of the last three guys or something. And
yeah,
Triple H turned on them or something.
I think Triple H did eliminate Batista because they were starting to tease tension at that point.
Yeah, and that was a big WrestleMania deal. But those.
Yeah,
two.
I had just started watching wrestling at this point.
Mm.
Okay.
I was heavily invested in it already.
I was like, catching up to do.
No, you're fine. That's fine. I'm the old guy here. I get it.
And then the following year, we had the 2006 New Year's Revolution with John Cena retaining his championship against...
Kind of.
Against Carlito, Chris Masters, Shawn Michaels, Kane, and Kurt Angle.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember thinking this was a... didn't love the match. It was like a vehicle to get over Carlito and Chris Masters.
Yeah.
They were both really new at the time.
Yeah.
Chris Masters was super new, and Carlito had just come over to Raw from SmackDown. In fact...
Carlito beefing with Cena before that?
So Carlito came in and won the U.S. title on his first night.
Yeah. Big deal.
Yeah, and then Cena was out for a minute. They did a thing where he got, like, stabbed in a nightclub. Mm. Fun fact... they were trying to get New Jack to be the guy that stabbed him. But
really?
New Jack ended up going with like a guy named Jesus. He's just some muscly guy. Mm-hmm. But they wanted it to be New Jack and to bring him into the company, but Vince McMahon vetoed New Jack coming in.
I could see that based on New Jack.
Yeah,
just being New Jack.
That is a fair assessment. But
this Elimination Chamber, the match was... Cena.
It was bloody classic mask. Super Cena bleeding like crazy.
Crimson Mask.
Do we know if Carlito was Intercontinental Champion doing this?
I don't think he was. He may have been,
I seem to remember him winning the U.S. title his first night and the Intercontinental title his first night on Raw.
I do not recall.
He might not have had it at that point.
Whatever happened to Carlito?
He was known for his attitude problems backstage, so he doesn't work there anymore. His brother and cousin do.
Primo and Epico.
There's still, like, every so often there's talks about bringing him back in.
Yeah.
He works a lot of indies. I think he still works in Mexico, too.
Yeah.
I hear he was a real hard guy to work with.
I hear that, too.
Not the best guy to do business with. But yeah, classic Super Cena. Bleeding all over the place, wins the match.
Ding, ding, ding.
Vince McMahon comes out.
Raise the cage.
The night is not over. Edge is cashing in his Money in the Bank contract. Edge hits a spear. Cena kicks out. Edge, you know, runs his hand through his hair. Yep. Hits him again. Wins the title.
This was the first ever Money in the Bank cash in. This is a huge moment in wrestling history.
Yes.
Like, Edge, what you were saying before the show, Edge had a ton of heat on him because he had the Matt Hardy thing go on.
Yeah, the Matt Hardy situation had just kind of stopped. Edge had been a face for so long. He came in as a heel with Edge and Christian, and then kind of turned face and was, you know, the cool baby face, you know, cool guy. And then he got bitter.
Yeah.
And why have I never won the title? Why have I never even gotten a shot at the title? You know, was angry and, you know, won Money in the Bank. And no one knew. Everyone kind of thought that Money in the Bank would work like he's going to go, all right, I'm gonna challenge for the title at the next pay-per-view. I'm going to turn in this contract for number one contender spot to pay-per-view. No one knew he could just hand a referee the suitcase and
go at it.
That had never happened before.
Right.
So, you know what? I don't think anybody predicted that it was going to happen that way.
I didn't see. Yeah, it was like, what?
Yeah,
like,
I didn't anticipate.
Is that how that works?
I didn't anticipate it working that way. Which basically set the stage for every year since then. You know, Money in the Bank adds that extra, you know, layer of drama to it. We're like, all right, is he going to cash in the case? Is he going to win?
Is it going to happen tonight? I don't know.
Yeah.
Carmella, is it? Tell me.
Right.
Do they even remember she has that case right now?
I don't think
she tried to cash it in like two weeks ago.
Did she?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she tried to.
And she kicked the referee.
She kicked the referee out. And then she tried to claim that, because the ref had grabbed it already and had it in his possession and was about to start the match. And then when he got out of the ring and turned around, she kicked him. And then he fell over.
So she was like, oh, my mistake.
Just kidding.
I just put that... I didn't mean to hand you that. What?
Take the bag.
She's like, JK, LOL. And then she got out of town. All right, what was the next one there,
Adrian? Next one is actually the first Elimination Chamber match that wasn't on Raw. It was actually on ECW in 2006.
Oh, December to Dismember.
Yes, it was.
It
looked good on paper. It looked good on paper. It was an extreme Elimination
that
Chamber.
That whole pay-per-view was a turd.
Yeah, Bobby Lashley, Big Show, Test, Rob Van Dam, Hardcore Holly, and CM Punk.
So every entrant, so the two guys started, and the four guys in the pods each had a weapon in their pod.
Oh, yeah.
You get released. It was a chair, crowbar, barbed wire bat.
Ooh.
And was one a table?
I thought they had a trash can or something.
Might have been a trash can.
No, they had a table in there.
One of them was a
table. They had a table in there because I remember somebody trying to break out with the table.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Originally, read me the entrance again, please.
It was Bobby Lashley, Big Show, Test, Rob Van Dam, Hardcore Holly, and CM Punk.
Originally, it was supposed to be Sabu instead of Test.
I was going
to
say.
But they took out Sabu that night. They had Sabu get jumped. I don't know exactly why they did that.
Hmm. Yeah, because I wanted to see Sabu in
It seemed like there was some appeal to that. And, yeah, they decided they didn't want Sabu in the match. They were pushing Bobby Lashley pretty hard at this point, so it made sense he won.
I remember Tess dropping an elbow from one of the pods.
Yeah, Tess.
For a big guy like that to jump off the pod and
Tess was really getting his second chance in the company at that point. He went away for a minute, and then he came back. They get the shorter hair.
Yeah, well, Tess was really big during the Stephanie McMahon, like, Triple H thing.
Yeah,
like,
and they cooled him off, and he was in the company through, like, 2003, and they let him go for a little bit. I think he had, like, some personal problems, like drug problems or something.
Probably. Because, like, he just was gone, and then he was back all of a sudden. It's like, oh.
Yeah, they brought him back in ECW. He was dating Kelly Kelly.
Oh, lucky guy. I did not know that.
Yeah, they were, she still talks about him, actually, in interviews, because he died not long after that. He died.
Well, not recently, but,
he died, like 6 months after he got released.
Wow.
Yeah, I think it was an overdose. But yeah, that match, that whole pay-per-view was bad. Yeah. I think they only had, like, three confirmed matches, like, going into the pay-per-view.
The whole rebranded ECW was bad. Yeah. Like, it was great on paper, like I said, because, like, they had the classic ECW guys are bringing up guys like CM Punk. They had Thorn, the vampire guy. They had Bobby Lashley. And then it just did not work. It was just another WWE show is what it ended up being.
Yeah, it was not good. Was Big Show champ going into that? Do you have that written down there?
I would have it. He was.
He was champ going in.
Yeah. He was champ.
Because because Big Show beat Van Damme and, like, Vince McMahon, you know, it was Paul Heyman screwed Van Damme.
Yeah.
And, like, sided with the Big Show. Yeah, Vince McMahon did go on to win the ECW title, though.
Yeah, it's just.
It was bad.
I really hate what they did with it because, like, they had momentum.
Mm-hmm.
And
that first ECW One Night Stand pay per view was amazing.
Amazing.
The second one wasn't bad either.
I liked the second one too.
They were like, oh no, we're gonna restart this brand. And then
I think the first ECW show they were at the Hammerstein Ballroom and CM Punk debuted.
He didn't wrestle,
but he was, like, backstage.
They had a vignette for him.
Yeah,
which, you know, popped everybody because CM Punk was, like, the hottest free agent at the time.
Exactly.
Even people, you know, casual fans knew who he was.
Wanted to see him in the ring and everything, but it just did not work.
Yeah, like, well, I mean, even the first episode had the zombie on it.
I don't even remember the zombie.
So it was on the Sci-Fi Network.
Yeah.
So you're like, we're going to do something cute where, like, every week we're going to have, like, a monster come out. And then Sandman will kick their ass. Like,
right. Okay.
So they had the zombie. They had, like, an alien. They had Nacho Libre.
Wow. So bad. But Bobby Lashley won that Elimination Chamber, I believe, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
He had a big push there.
That is the one memorable thing I remember about that match.
I think he was still holding the ECW title when he did the thing with Donald Trump.
I believe when he fought Umaga, he was the ECW champion. Yeah.
Yes.
I think.
No, because that went on for Vince McMahon to win the title because Vince McMahon had a grudge against Bobby Lashley after that.
Okay.
Because he ended up with his head shaved, so he would, you know, target Bobby Lashley and end up winning the ECW title. Not a good pay-per-view, not a good match.
Nope.
And then After that one, we have the February 2008 No Way Out Elimination Chamber with SmackDown and ECW. We had Undertaker winning against Batista, Finlay, Montel Porter, The Great Khali, and Big Daddy V.
Viscera.
Also not That's a great right. match.
No.
You're not working with a latte, though.
No.
MVP was kind of meh. Big Daddy V was way past.
Oh my god!
He had to have been over 500 pounds at that point.
He was.
He was a.
Did he win the ECW title at one?
No,
point?
He never won. The
title. Okay, I knew they were pushing him.
Yeah, was he was like the monster there. They had a four way match. It was Big Daddy V, Kane, Khali. Who was the fourth man? Maybe the Big Show.
Yeah.
Maybe the Big Show. It was like a four-way match where like every guy was over like 400 yeah. pounds. And it was just the worst match you've ever seen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, no one could move.
Yeah. 5 minutes of the match, I'm
yeah, the work rate in that match was measured in tectonic plate movement.
This one I found interesting when I was doing my research on it, though, because it was the first time they had two Elimination Chambers in the same day. And it was actually also the first time they had it at WrestleMania, and it was at WrestleMania 24.
What? That doesn't sound right at all.
They're fighting for a championship match at WrestleMania.
Oh, 24. That might have been what it was.
Yeah, so they never had an Elimination Chamber match at 24.
Okay, that was probably.
Did you say this was a No Way Out?
Chamber at
No Way Out.
It was in February, so it took place in No Way Out.
No Way Out, probably for WrestleMania.
Yeah, they were fighting for a championship match at WrestleMania.
Okay.
Because I think Undertaker would go on to face Batista for the title there and win against Batista, if I remember correctly.
That was 23. I thought... Who did he fight at 24?
Would it have been Edge?
Might have been. I don't know. Cody Goads, Google. I need a Google.
Got the Google machine running.
Who did Undertaker fight in 20? Until WrestleMania 24.
But, you said that... Was there Elimination Chamber matches?
Two in the same day. Okay. The second one was on Raw. It was same day. Again, it was No Way Out. It was Triple H defeating Jeff Hardy, Shawn Michaels,
Edge,
Chris Jericho, Omega, and John Layfield.
Okay.
JBL.
Interesting. Yeah, this is clearly not that memorable. I don't know.
It wasn't a good night.
Yeah.
But yeah, you said Undertaker won against Edge.
Undertaker won would go on to face Edge at WrestleMania for the title.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the next year after that, we have... again, the 2009 No Way Out, Triple H defending against Edge, who was the current champion at the time, Undertaker, Jeff Hardy, Big Show, and Vladimir Kozlov.
Oh yeah, I remember him.
Kozlov. That's a name I haven't heard in a while.
I believe this was around the time that Jeff Hardy was finally getting his push as champion, I think.
What pay-per-view did this take place at again?
No Way Out 2009.
Yeah, because Jeff Hardy had a world's title match at the Royal Rumble that year.
Mm-hmm.
He fought Triple H and just barely lost.
Yeah. So who ended up winning that one? You say Triple H?
Nope.
Okay. Typical.
Yeah, he'd retain and go on. Is that the main he fought Cena at?
Sure, we'll go with that. I know at one point
Triple H lost to Cena at a Mania for the title, so I'm assuming it was that one.
Yeah, and then this one was another one where we had a second Elimination Chamber match the same day on Raw, No Way Out 2009 again, and it was Edge again defending against John Cena, defeating John Cena, who was the champion at the time, with Rey Mysterio, Chris Jericho, Mike Knox, and Kane.
Mike Knox was in the ECW reboot.
Kelly's boyfriend.
Do you remember Gene Schnitzky?
Wasn't my fault.
They were basically the same person.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
The following year, they've started to mix this up. They started doing it in pairs again. So the first one. They had the 2010. This is the first time they had the Elimination Chamber like pay per view, and then I think
the Elimination Chamber became a pay per view instead of just being a match.
Right, gotcha. It became its own pay per view since then. I think Just double, yeah. Every single Elimination Chamber match since then has been a part of the Elimination Chamber pay per view.
Right,
it hasn't been partaken on any other.
Which
ones.
Will happen again this year on what date here, Cody Goats?
25th. This coming Sunday.
Why is that significant?
It's my date of birth anniversary.
My date of birth anniversary.
Three clips for being born.
Yeah.
Didn't do it. Date of birth anniversary. I love that. That's gonna catch on.
The old. Doba.
I like it a lot.
The first ever Elimination Chamber pay-per-view in 2010, we had John Cena defeating Sheamus, who was the champion at the time, Triple H, Kofi, Ted DeBase, I might be pronouncing
that
wrong. DeBase, I knew I was going to pronounce that wrong, and Randy Orton.
That's Ted DiBiase Jr., everybody.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I'm pretty sure. I was about to ask, like, is he with the in crutches? Like, is he alive?
And then the second one was, that same day was Chris Jericho defeating Undertaker, who was the current champion at the time, John Morrison, Rey Mysterio, CM Punk, and R-Truth.
Yes!
If I remember correctly, John Morrison did something crazy in that match. For the life of me, I can't remember what it was. It couldn't have been that crazy. But I know he did something kind of cool.
I want to say he, like, Spider-Maned it or something. Like,
he might have.
Like, grabbed on to, like, the Elimination Chamber chain.
Actually, I think he climbed up to the top.
Did he?
I think he climbed, like, the very top of the chamber and, like, did, like, a cool move down.
Okay, I remember Kalisto doing that in one of them.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of. That could be.
I remember that. But Morrison definitely did something.
He did something
cool,
kind of cool.
It stood
there.
Out, and yeah. I was all like, "Oh, highlight reel."
Yeah, it was when Jericho had that run with the World Heavyweight Title.
Loved
on
it.
SmackDown. That was,
that was like about time.
He came back with the Save Us 222 thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And was like it was a babyface for a minute, and then he turned heel and was wearing like the suit.
Yep.
And what was he calling people? Was it Troglodyte? He had, like, an insult he was using on people. It was, like, a big word. I remember.
Fancy guy was one big word.
Yeah.
It was great.
Oh, he started wearing trunks.
Yeah,
he wasn't
normally would wear the pants, and then he went to just regular wrestling trunks.
Which one was it that you said that he thought he did something cool in it?
Morrison.
Yeah.
I didn't have a note on that one, but I did find the 2010 Chamber match, the one with, again, I'm probably going to mispronounce it, Ted DiBiase Jr. Cody Rhodes passed him a metal pipe, which he used to eliminate Randy Orton for WWE Championship.
So Randy Orton brought in... Cody Rhodes came into WWE teaming with Hardcore Holly. Hardcore Holly was like his mentor.
Yeah.
Hardcore Holly and Cody Rhodes win the tag titles. Ted DiBiase debuts and is like, I've got this really cool partner and we're going to win the tag team titles from you and Cody Rhodes, Hardcore Holly. And then they have the match and Cody Rhodes blows Hardcore Holly from behind. Mm-hmm. And Cody Rhodes and Ted DiBiase became tag champs. They go on to team with Randy Orton as Legacy. Which is pretty cool. And then, for whatever reason, Randy Orton stops using Cody Rhodes and Ted DiBiase as Legacy. He gets two other second and third generation guys. I think one of them was... So there was Deuce and Domino. I forget which one of them was the thing, but his dad was a second generation guy. Yeah. And then one of them was... he went by Sim Snuka, I think. He was one of like Jimmy Snuka's like nephew or something.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the other one was like one of the Fatus. Like he just one of like the Samoan guys. But basically, Cody Rhodes and Ted DiBiase were feuding with Randy Orton at that time.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then later that same night in the other Elimination Chamber match, we had Shawn Michaels break into the chamber to cost Undertaker his World Heavyweight title to Chris Jericho, and that's how Chris Jericho won that match.
Shawn Michaels wanted to fight Taker at Mania, and Taker wouldn't fight him, so Shawn Michaels would screw him over.
I actually knew that.
Because that would go on, I think that was the second time Taker and Michaels fought at Mania, because that would go on to...
back-to-back.
Yeah, it was the...
Tore the house down.
Yeah, it was the, Sean, if I beat you, it's the end of your career. If I can't beat you, I have no career.
Yeah, it was that was good.
That was one of my favorite feuds. WrestleMania
versus the Street, man.
That match ending. I remember.
Like 20 minutes long.
Yeah, oh, no, wow. I've seen that. I've seen that same video. Yeah. Did you share it on Facebook?
No.
I've seen that promo video, the one where they cover the whole thing.
Lifespan of this feud.
Yeah,
I think watched it though. Okay, like I think a half an hour
that's
long.
Crazy.
We're talking about the same video.
Yeah.
No, it's about a 15-20 minute video.
Yeah.
Because that match ends with Shawn Michaels is almost like half dead.
Yeah,
and Undertaker's just like. Mm-hmm. Stop! Like I don't want to do this. And he goes to do something, and Shawn Michaels slaps him in the face, and he gives him like a jumping tombstone, and pins him.
It was great. It was great. I loved it. Check those WrestleMania matches out. I'm sure you can see them on WWE Network.
Yeah.
Search WrestleMania.
And then the following year, we had 2011, we had Edge, who was the current champion and retained against Mysterio, Kane, Drew,
McIntyre,
Big Show, and Wade Barrett.
I
miss Wade Barrett. One of the most underutilized wasted talents ever. Wade
Barrett.
I love Wade. He had a good look. He had good size. He could wrestle all right. He was a good brawler.
Yeah, no.
One of my favorite gimmicks he had was he got hurt and he came back and he was just like, they had him like in jeans fighting.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like that fit him so, like, I'm not like a big fan of like the jeans thing.
Yeah.
It fit him so well because he was just like he boxed.
Yeah,
he was just like he's a striker, and it fit him so well. And then he would go on to do the Bad News thing, and I just love that he always looked like he was having such a good time.
Bad News.
Yeah, every time
he just looked so happy.
I like that when he went up on the cherry picker, and he'd be up really high.
He had the gavel, like, afraid I've got some bad news for you. He just looked like he was having the time of his life doing that. It's like, I'm happy. He's happy.
Exactly. He's loving it. He's enjoying it. I'm enjoying him enjoying it.
That laugh of his is contagious.
And then that same night, we also had John Cena defeat CM Punk, John Morrison, Sheamus, Randy Orton, and R-Truth. That
sounds right. That sounds like John Cena doing a thing.
Remember they were pushing R-Truth as a main event guy?
Yeah.
Was it the Little Jimmy stuff?
No, it was before the Little Jimmy.
Because the Little Jimmy stuff, I was just all like...
Yeah, no, that was weird. They lost.
It got ridiculous. It got to the point where it didn't make sense.
Because there's the minute where the Miz and R-Truth were like a team. And like there's a conspiracy, and it was I don't like R-Truth.
I love him in the ring.
I don't think he's great. He's a little too much sizzle, a little not enough steak.
No,
I don't know him well enough. Only like the most I know from R-Truth is he did have a couple episodes on Total Divas.
Did he?
He's deathly afraid of cats. So who does he go to visit?
Natalia, of course.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not what's up, everybody. That's not.
So that's my only impression of him.
Yeah, he was a former NWA champion.
Yeah.
He wrestled in
the... Hey, update.
Oh, you want an update on NWA championship? Yeah. There was a match for it recently, I guess. Or there's at least a beat for it.
It's coming up.
James Ellsworth
is
doing stuff.
Did it happen?
Yep, it's on YouTube as of like 3 days ago.
Oh, okay.
Fought Magnus for it, and who won? Do you know?
Aldis won. Magnus.
Magnus won? Okay, so he's the guy I currently have to buy it from.
Yeah, so
For those of you that don't know, I, Trebuchet, want to be your next NWA champion. Like, just check it out. Dusty Rhodes, Ric Flair, Trebuchet. That's the kind of like thing we're going for here. Just sounds right together.
Rule of threes in comedy.
Yes. So I set up a GoFundMe to buy it. I'm going to do what Ted DiBiase Sr. did to the WWF Championship and purchase it away from the
heads up. That didn't work out so good for you.
I don't care.
Yeah, I don't care about that part.
This is version 2.0 Showtime. Yeah. We're gonna make it work.
It's 2018 now.
Yeah,
people are ready.
Money is way more important these days. But I currently have gotten a donation to my GoFundMe. $50 from my buddy Christian.
$50,
Christian. Yes. So we are one step closer.
Thanks.
To getting the NWA title on the Undisputed Podcast of the
We're
World.
We're talking about doing a lot of good things with that. Don't worry.
Absolutely. I've got things. Plans.
A whole new
on top of plans.
I can't wait for like if this takes off, I can't wait for Billy Corgan to send you a cease and desist letter.
I'm gonna be like, that's terrible. I'm like, I just wanna buy it.
This is just a fan trying to live out his dream.
I will frame that cease and desist letter, by the way.
Yeah, no. I hope you do. I hope... the way that match got set up was Nick Aldis was saying, you know, I want to fight a former NWA champion or someone that's beaten an NWA champion.
Yeah,
okay. And Ellsworth has beaten AJ Styles.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, there you
NWA
go.
NWA champion, so he came out and fought. It sounds like Tommy Dreamer would be fighting... All this for the NWA title at some
the
point.
More legit
cool.
Match, yeah. Someone else has a shot too. Tommy Dreamer has one, and I'm blanking on the other guy. But they're defending that title.
That's good. So I'm like, real people, I'm coming for it. Y'all better watch out.
Sounds like I think if Tommy Dreamer wins the title, you got a better shot at buying it.
Yeah, probably. I don't see Tommy winning it though. But
no,
like,
but like Tommy Dreamer's like a big fan of those eating contests. You're just like, hey Tommy, I bet I can eat more hot dogs than you. NWA title on the line.
Oh, there we go. Okay,
I'll get you all ready right. for that.
That's all right. Thanks, Showtime.
I guess you can see someone his stature winning an eating contest. We'll see.
Are you kidding me? Have you seen the hot dog fucking eating champions? They're like my size.
Have you smelled the what goes on in this?
The Rock is
we can get Trebuchet hungry enough to eat enough hot dogs. We have the technology.
If the NWA title is on the line.
Super motivated.
Like health out the window.
Super motivated. Is that what they're called?
Oh, yeah.
Super motivated. Man, I've never been so motivated.
It's actually the only thing you're motivated to do is eat.
And win the NWA champion.
The answer's on one thing.
Yeah, come on now. I can't wait to defend it with pride and cowardice.
I thought you were
going to weaselly tactics.
I thought we agreed that you're going to get to take on Shinsuke.
What?
Oh, no. Well, that is a match I want to see. The bitter rivalry between Trebuchet and Shinsuke.
So I wasn't here to defend Shinsuke last
bring
week.
The heat
There was some nonsense going on last week in my absence.
Thank you.
What you're talking about.
Thank you.
I don't know what you're talking about at all.
Trebuchet's like, yeah, Shinsuke is not that great. I'm sitting in my apartment going, what?
I'm not sold that he's WrestleMania main event worthy. I'm not. You can send the heat to @TrebuchetLOL all you want. I'm not going to read it. But you can send it that way. I'm very opinionated about my main events at WrestleMania.
Yeah,
even though we're going to have like seven of them.
Yeah.
Such a rare thing.
We've got six more matches. We're on number 14 of 20 here. So okay. We're winding down.
We're making it through.
Yep. We've got the next one in February 2012. We've got CM Punk, the current champion, retaining against The Miz, Chris Jericho, Kofi Kingston, Dolph Ziggler, and R-Truth.
Was that during CM Punk's like really long run as champion?
I think so.
I'm assuming.
So.
It just
seems like hang on. Read me those entrants again.
CM Punk, The Miz, Chris Jericho, Kofi Kingston, Dolph Ziggler, and R-Truth.
Okay, that's not the one I'm thinking of. Continue.
All right.
There's a funny story about one of them. It's not that one.
Yep. That one was on Raw. On SmackDown that same night, we had Daniel Bryan, the current champion, also retaining against Santonio Marella.
Santino.
Some Wade Barrett, Bad News Barrett, Cody Rhodes, Big Show, and Khali.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
I don't remember that one very well.
Me either.
Doesn't sound like we did.
Wasn't very
bad. I hope I didn't get crushed by Khali.
And then 2013, we had Jack Swagger defeating Randy Orton, Chris Jericho, Mark Henry, Kane, and Daniel Bryan.
Okay, so funny story about this one. Wait, hang on. Is Mark Henry in another chamber after this?
I don't believe I wrote his name down twice.
Okay. So, I'm trying to remember exactly how it went, but someone gets eliminated from this match too early. And like it throws the entire match off, and someone literally has to, like, start calling the match, like, halfway, like, you go here, and you take the pin. Like, it's the most... It's the
one where Mark Henry's chamber opens early, right?
Yeah. No, so his
chamber is kind of a mess.
Yeah, like, his chamber gets open early, someone gets eliminated, too, so, like, the whole match is just... It's just terrible.
It went downhill fast.
Yeah, because they have to. I imagine they have to like choreograph these matches pretty like intently. With a 6-man match, you gotta know when everything's gonna happen. Mm-hmm. Who's leaving when, and when the high spots gonna happen. The whole thing just goes out the window, and they're like, "All right, we're gonna do our best match, Colin. Halfway, let's see how we do."
Oh boy. Yeah, I was surprised Swagger won it. That was like one of the big shock factors to me.
Well, that and
Was he supposed to win, or was that like a huge? No,
he won. He was supposed to win the match, but the match was supposed to look a lot better than it did. Yeah. Like the whole match is just bowling shoe ugly.
Yeah.
Do we remember? Wasn't the thing that Mark Henry's door opens and he just stood there for like? I don't remember what the controversy was exactly. Someone tell us.
I don't. I think he. Google. I'm pretty sure it opened too early, and he's
I thought he came out. I wasn't sure though.
I think it opened too early, and then he did stand there like an idiot for a season. And they're like, "Well, this looks dumb. If I'm just gonna stand here and not go out there."
Everything that went wrong. As an article, it says everything that went wrong in 2015 elimination. You know,
let's hear it.
You know this is going to be like, good. There's a whole article to it.
I do remember back to a couple elimination chambers, like one of the first ones. It was the one where Goldberg and was in it.
So, pre-match. We're already messing shit up and didn't even start yet. Rusev was supposed to be in the match, got hurt. They replaced him at the last minute with Mark Henry.
Right.
Boom. Already a problem.
I do remember that, yes.
Mm-hmm. R-Truth didn't want to be there. FYI. Just throw that out there. Like, he knew he had no chance of winning, and he did not want to be there. And then, JBL, they want you to note in this article that JBL describes the pods not as bulletproof, like we were talking about before, but this is even better. The it's Lexan glass, the same material used for armored vehicles.
Even better.
That sounds like something JBL would say.
Exactly.
He's the smartest dumb guy I've ever heard. He knows a lot of weird, like a lot of like intricate stuff, but just uses it all wrong. All
right, and then I'll just read this. This is a paragraph that describes exactly what we were trying to get out. The match starts conventionally with Barrett largely dominating both Ziggler and R-Truth. Until the first major accident occurs and everything goes out of control. Seeking to punish Ziggler, Barrett shoves him into the back of the pod containing Mark Henry, and the cheap plexiglass armored vehicle panel pops out of place, collapsing to the ground, boom, and there's nothing to keep Mark Henry in his pod. He takes a tentative step outside, only to freeze because he has no idea what he's supposed to do. He asks the ref what he should be doing, and the ref signals a shrug. I don't know, man.
I just like to think referee Chad Patton just going, fuck if I know.
The equally confused cameraman drifts between different competitors until Henry decides fuck it and awkwardly enters the match. And then, while Ziggler and Barrett brawl, Henry stands rigidly in place like a zombie. And there's a picture. Show the class. You can't see it on the radio, I know. Mm-hmm. Okay. Over confusion on what he should be doing. But Barrett then hits a signature move on Ziggler and goes for the pin, only to have it broken up by Henry, who's so flustered he apparently forgot he's in an elimination match.
Yeah, no, that's right. He does break up a pin for no reason.
And then JBL starts yelling at him. And, I mean, then there's more paragraphs. I'm kind of skimming it through what happens.
I remember vividly... Because at a certain point, the guys all kind of, like, stand away from each other.
Yeah.
And they're like, kind of, like... What are yeah, we they're all, doing? Like... It's supposed to look like a tense moment where they're staring at each right. other and, like, ready to fight. But, it, like, Ziggler's calling the match while it's happening. Like, all right, you're going to, like...
Yep, the picture I'm pointing.
This is what we're doing.
Yeah, it was... This match was a mess.
Oh, my lord.
Announcer said Dolph's trying to negotiate a deal in there.
I don't know if you guys noticed this while you were talking, but while you were doing that, I put in my notes with a little arrow next to it and relabeled this, the one that went wrong.
To be honest, if that was the last Elimination Chamber match they ever did, I wouldn't have been surprised. It was just like, yeah, this idea is done. We had our fun with this.
Definitely jump the shark. Like.
16 matches later, we're done.
Yeah.
At one point, Ziggler's yelling, clothesline me to Pete.
Some somebody hit me, please.
Oh man, I gotta watch this on the WWE.
It's less funny than it sounds.
Yeah,
it's not fun to watch.
Choke it down.
Yeah, it's funny to read about and to think about. Once you start watching, you're just like, this isn't.
I think it's still gonna be funny for me now because I'm gonna remember all the commentary we have.
It hurts me to watch the wrestlers in there. I'm like, oh, it's painful.
When Sheamus gets out, he's the last one to come out. He throws Ziggler back into his pod, and then that pod also breaks.
Because it's made of Lex and awesome material.
Yeah, and then eventually, and then it goes on to say that.
Because when Goldberg spears the guy through that glass, they had to gimmick that glass. Because the glass isn't supposed to even be shattered. It's not supposed to be shatterable.
Right.
It's supposed to pop out of place before it breaks.
Yeah.
So the one that will break, they have to like gimmick in such a way that it will break.
No, back to the Goldberg one really quick. I was trying to get to it earlier.
Yeah.
I remember that his pod was. He was the last guy to come out, and it was opening. Flair, like, was on the outside trying to keep it closed.
Mm-hmm.
Surprised they did this. They had Goldberg punch his way out of the glass chamber, which is, if you know Goldberg's history and punching glass.
Yeah, he's not supposed to.
He should not be punching glass.
Yeah, he shouldn't be doing that.
Because he pretty much just killed any momentum that his character had previously.
I forgot to mention that I just thought of this in one of the previous matches that it was the one, I think it was when CM Punk won. They had, I'm pretty sure it was like booked this way, but his pod didn't open correctly. So like it opens halfway and he's like trying to get out of it and he gets stuck in it. And like someone's like clobbering him while he's like stuck in the glass and they go, Punk can go back in his pod. It'll open during another rotation.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of happened. And then one of the other ones, Undertaker was the one where he got lit on fire by his pyro.
Oh yeah.
So on the way to the ring, he had like the fire pot, the fire come up, and he got hit. Yeah, he gets hit by the pyro. He throws his jacket off. I think you can hear him yell "fuck" too. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure you can hear it. And he gets in the cell, and the story is that a doctor checked him when he was in the pod to make sure like he didn't have like third degree burns.
Yeah.
And then the whole time they're just giving him bottles of water for him to dump on himself in the pod. He had second degree burns.
Tough man right there.
Yeah.
All right, A-Train, what do we got left here?
That's 2014. We've got Randy Orton winning against Daniel Bryan, John Cena, Cesaro, Christian, and Sheamus.
Christian.
Randy Orton.
I
want one more match.
One more match. I love Captain Charisma. One more match.
Yeah.
And then the year after that, I'm kind of powering through these. This one was actually, this is going to be a long lineup, because this was actually a tag team elimination.
Oh, this one was fun. Yeah. This one was fun.
This one was New Day, Xavier Woods and Big E specifically, against the primetime players Darren Young and Titus O'Neil, Tyson Kidd and Cesaro, The Ascension, Connor and Victor, the Lucha Dragons, Sin Cara and Kalisto, and the Los Matadores, Diego and Fernando.
This is the Bull gets in there.
The Los
Matadores Bull.
Yeah.
Cesaro does something to. What does Cesaro do to?
Either swings him or.
He swings him, but he does something to. Cesaro was the star of this match.
Oh, yeah.
Cesaro was doing all sorts of crazy nonsense in here.
Like, Kalisto tore it up too, I believe.
Yeah,
like
he did. Early. You're right. He goes up top. He did hit like a high spot.
But like, Cesaro like tore it down.
Now you said, I had said earlier, I think Morrison was up. I think you're right. I think Kalisto was the one that timed it, like, climbed to like the center.
The very center and dropped
down. And came down.
Yep.
Do you remember, side note, do you remember in TNA, they had what it was called, say an Ultimate X.
Yep. Yeah.
What was the one where there's a cage that looks like the Elimination Chamber, but there's an opening at the top.
King of the Mountain match.
No. That King of the Mountain is where there's that's the reverse ladder match.
Okay.
This is, there's like a red cell that covers it. You have to scale your way up it and over, like, out the top of it.
I've seen those matches. What are those called? What
the hell is that called? It was the worst gimmick match I've ever seen.
It was really bad.
But my favorite is Homicide gets stuck at the top. He's supposed to win the match.
Yeah.
And gets, like, he's like, I can't.
He literally gets stuck.
I guess if I move, I'm going to fall. Like, if I don't know what to do. They sit up there for, like, a minute just watching him just, like, hang there, like, I don't know what to do. But it's, Kalisto climbing to the top of the cell reminded me of that because I forget
the name of that match, but I saw that match too and just see it be painfully awkward.
Was it like called like Escape X or something? It was a bad match and like it went just as bad as it should have.
Escape.
Okay.
God damn it. That's such a terrible. That's such a TNA thing.
It was at a lockdown. I thought it was at a lockdown. Yeah.
It would make sense.
That sounds like that was in the boardroom. All right, guys, we need a name. Let's name this thing already.
I would not be surprised to find out that Vince Russo had his thumbs all in that pot.
All right, second to last one. These are just ones that have already taken place, but we have 2015. Ryback winning against Sheamus, Dolph Ziggler, Mark Henry, R-Truth, and King Barrett. They had put that time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that was a character change for him.
He won King of the Ring.
The first one. Gotcha. Really,
and then did nothing.
Which was very disappointing.
Proceeded to job like crazy.
Just terrible.
I can understand now why he did nothing because I know bad news. Barrett. I don't know King Barrett.
We must have snuck past the one where Edge loses his title earlier in the night, and then
we did. We did not mention that.
Yeah. So at one point, Edge loses his title in like the Raw match.
You lost the WWE Championship.
Yeah, he loses the WWE Championship in his match, and then would go on. Kofi Kingston's supposed to be in the other title match in the main event, and would
take his spot.
Yeah, he would he beat him up on the entranceway, and would take his spot in the match, and would go on to win the heavyweight
World
title.
Heavyweight Championship. So
Edge pulled double elimination chambers in one match in one night.
Yeah.
Lost his first one, won the second one.
It was great.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
All right, and then we have last year's, 2017's, Bray Wyatt winning against John Cena, who was the champion at the time, AJ Styles, The Miz, Dean Ambrose, and Baron Corbin.
The new set.
Baron Corbin. Yeah. Yeah. The not-so-steel and way more forgiving elimination chamber.
This one's not circular anymore. Yeah, it definitely...
It's taller. Like, there's more headroom if you want to go on top of a pod.
Everything. So in the old elimination chamber, everything's kind of circular.
Yeah.
Pods are like half circles, and the whole thing is a circle.
Yeah.
This is everything like square.
Square, yeah.
It definitely does look a lot. Like, I'd rather take a bump in that one than...
Oh, in the old one. My God, yeah.
Like, that was... actually, at the first one, Eric Bischoff comes out before it with like a pipe.
Yep,
and just like hitting things.
Yeah,
to show like it's all metal.
Yep. Just in case you didn't believe it or not, be like,
solid
steel.
Yeah,
like,
these are not plastic chains.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And then this next upcoming one is going to be unique, I heard, because it's going to be the first ever 8-man elimination or
seven.
Seven. I don't know where I got 8 from. But...
Did they announce that then?
Yeah. Okay. So on Raw, have you seen Raw yet?
We just did.
Well, okay. We saw the double pin, but we're
okay. Oh, yeah. So they announced that both Balor and Rollins are going.
Boom. Yeah, I'm assuming they're going to start it as a triple threat.
Yeah. So that's I was wondering about that.
Miz is going to be in there.
It seems most likely that it'll start with 3 men.
And then 4 in the pods. That makes sense.
It would be kind of cool to see him put a 5th pod in there because this is a new cell.
Yeah.
That might happen.
They could. They could. I doubt it.
Most likely it'll just be 3 men to start rather than 2, which I don't hate.
I thought they might just have Balor fight Rollins one on one on Raw or something to just.
They announced they're both going.
Okay.
It sounds like that's probably the best use because Balor should be in the match, and it sounds like Rollins needs a place right now because Jason Jordan got hurt.
Not tag with Seth Rollins. It's bad news.
Yeah, so I've been saying for a while now, that Shield reunion was fucking cursed.
Man.
Anyone that had anything to do with that wasn't Seth Rollins. I'd like to find out that Seth Rollins like sold the soul of the devil to curse everyone involved.
Oh my
God. He's like, I'm gonna turn my back on him, I'm gonna do an extra creative this time. Like, I want everybody that I tag with in this feud to get hurt. Jason Jordan's like really, he had to minor neck surgery.
Yeah. Not gonna make WrestleMania.
Yeah, not gonna make WrestleMania. It's too bad. He's a nice guy. Although he is a nerd. I was listening to last week's podcast. You guys talked about him for like 5 minutes and didn't say that, and it hurt me. I was in pain.
There was definitely a hole in the podcast last week.
So we had to get that in. But yeah, so Sounds like, yeah, it'll be...
Get well soon.
Yeah,
no. I don't want guys to get hurt to miss WrestleMania. I don't want it to go down that way.
I'm really thinking they got to do something about the injury policy. And this, like, if people are getting hurt...
They're dropping, like, flies, especially on Raw.
Well, they're dropping, like... they're both dropping, like, flies, and people involved in, like, relevant storyline. It's not like... it's not like a lower carder is getting hurt. Like, guys in, like, the main event are getting hurt, and they're having to rewrite plans like crazy. I just wonder if they're going to... do something about that.
I'm assuming they will in the future, but
workman's comp might be right there.
It's WrestleMania season. Like it's they're gonna try. Well,
right now they're just trying to get a lot of people involved because WrestleMania's coming up. But they really should just stick to a system. They have enough people to write. It'd be better to write in if they're just voluntarily leaving for a while, so they don't get the stress of the injuries. You know.
Yeah, you also prolong people's careers that way.
Exactly, yeah.
So for 3 months at a time, Seth Rollins won't wrestle, but you're going to have him for 5 more years because he gets a chance to not get hurt all the time.
And you don't have to rewrite everything.
And then we also have the Women's Elimination Chamber match this year.
That's going to be
historic. Yeah.
Not fair to miss Alexa Bliss, that's all I'm saying.
Asuka's not in it.
Asuka's fighting Nia Jax.
It's Alexa Bliss versus Bayley versus Mandy Rose versus Mickie James versus Sonya Deville versus Sasha Banks.
Really? So, I mean, okay, in that case, Asuka or Alexa's moving on, but I am not a... Alexa has not impressed me as a champion.
She's classic heel. Just classic.
Her matches are meh, and she hasn't
Not talking about her matches, just like the persona.
She hasn't. It's just so fair. She's fine on the mic, and she's got the classic. She's defended that belt since October.
That's what they were saying, yeah. That's what Kurt Angle said on Raw a couple weeks ago.
Absolutely ridiculous.
But there's a lot of controversy. People are like, what about the 30-day rule? I would like to say formally, I've always interpreted the 30-day rule as you are able to defend the belt in within 30 days if you have to.
Back in like the Attitude Era and the Forcible Entry Era or Forcible Aggression Era.
A Ruthless Aggression Era?
Whatever it is.
Forcible Entry was the name of that awesome wrestling album.
There we go.
Did you own that one?
Yeah.
That one kicked ass.
It's
completely out of my
brain. I'm trying to fucking give that a pop real quick. Yeah. During that time, the 30-day... thing was
clearly
like
for me too.
It seemed more legit.
It was legit. Now, so
they haven't done that since the PG era. Like,
well, they invoke it to strip the title from people when they're injured.
Yeah, yeah.
And my thought on that is the unofficial rule. It should be written as you must be able to defend the belt within 30 days of your last defense.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't, you can be sure of it. That does not mean you have to defend it every 30 days, but if 30 days go by and you're not medically clear to defend it, you can't hold it. That seems like a good way
to... That seems like the way it works, too.
Yeah, that seems like it makes the most sense. It seems like a good way to... For like a Brock Lesnar type situation where he's not going to defend it every 30 days, but if you called and said, Brock, you have to defend the title tonight, he's medically cleared to do it, so he can.
There you go.
Seems like a good compromise. So WWE, call me.
Yeah.
Pay me for this.
I will solve all your problems. I will Tyson Tomko that shit. I like the Tyson Tomko reference last week. I don't know if anybody appreciated
the problem
as much as I did.
Can you say that was the first time you got a shout out in 2 years?
Probably more than that.
I was very special.
I want to grow my beard like his. I want that spike. That, like,
dude, just straight
the
down.
Scott
very
Ian,
pointed.
The Scott Ian spike.
Yeah.
I'm an anthrax.
Man, I want him to come back so bad. Well, if I win the NWA Championship, I may just call
just
the problem.
Just hire Tyson Tomko?
Yep, absolutely.
I'm sure he takes payment in food stamps probably at this
point. Ooh, shots fired. That's a problem that needs to be solved, man.
I agree.
Okay, but how do we feel about people getting announced their order before the Elimination Chamber starts? Like, we know Miz
like
is coming
it.
Out first.
Hate it.
And we know Elias is coming out last.
Okay, so...
I like guessing. And
I know Batista's done it in the past.
I like guessing, but I also... like, so it's the same thing with the Royal Rumble. Guessing's a lot of fun, but like that last spot and the first spot are like story-worthy things.
Yeah.
So like when Vince McMahon was mad at Shawn Michaels, Shawn, you're going in first.
Yeah.
Or you can win a match to get the number 30
beat
spot.
Beat the clock,
that's what
yeah,
I was
something
say.
Like that. I like yeah. that element of it, but like,
I don't. Like, so both are fine, mm-hmm. but I think if you're hurting for like content before it, competing for that sixth spot or the 30 spot is a good way to
agreed.
A good reason to have a match with something on the line.
Like, I would personally like it watching Elimination Chamber matches. I'm like, all right, who's it going to be? Who's coming out? But like you said, and I was going to say this too, I really like the idea of, all right, we're going to have, like, I don't know, a fatal five-way or whatever for the sixth position in the Elimination Chamber match.
Mm-hmm.
And do it that way. So like, you'll know who the sixth person's going to be, but you've still got three others plus the two that are going to start in the ring, and you might know one of the two that's going to start in the ring,
mm-hmm.
but you still there's still that air of mystery to it, so to speak, and I like that.
Yeah.
And a lot of times the heel will do something to cheat to be in that last spot, mm-hmm. so it gets them some heat.
Mm-hmm.
I
was a little shocked that Elias won that match, but it's good for his character and everything, because he beat Braun Strowman and John Cena, I believe.
I mean, Elias is the next big thing. You know what WWE stands for, right?
With Elias.
I love that so much. The first time I heard it, I just...
I popped.
It made my heart smile.
It was so good.
I thought it stood for why. Why Elias?
He's slowly winning me over.
But, all right, guys.
Nope.
Let's discuss our SmackDown Power Rankings from last
week. Boom!
And then after the show, we'll give you the new ones from this week.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Actually, before we get to that, in the news, Rich Swann, released by WWE.
Yeah.
He got cleared of all charges, yes. And then they mutually agreed to release him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't... I just thought that was noteworthy.
It is that he's not coming back.
Yeah, that he was cleared to come back. I imagine the situation... I got no reason to think this is all speculation. But they probably said, hey... We're going to bring you back, but we're going to wait till the heat dies down, so it's probably going to be about a year until we're going to put you back on TV, or we can just cut you loose and maybe someday you'll come back, no hard feelings. He probably took that road.
Yeah, probably going to end up on
like,
the independents.
We're going to wait until no one remembers that this happened for you to be on TV, since you're going to miss Mania. He probably said, I'd rather just go wrestle on the indies. Is that okay? And like, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, absolutely.
So he was cleared of all charges, meaning she was lying?
That's the way that
the it's being read as a misunderstanding between he and his wife. No, I'm not going to take any official stand because I don't know all the details there.
Right.
He very well could be a wife-beating scumbag. I don't know. But criminally, he's cleared of all. He's not going to jail. As far as the law is concerned, he's an innocent man.
That is comforting in a weird,
way. Yeah, it's like still a little bit of gray area there.
Situation.
Mm-hmm. But okay.
Anyway, continue.
All right, our power rankings for SmackDown Live.
SmackDown came out of the top 10. We complained about it. Did they come out with a new top 10 yet? And we know.
I did not watch SmackDown. Okay,
we don't know. So we're just gonna talk about the rest of.
I would like to go on record by saying that I hate every time a company does this. So SmackDown's done it a few times, and TNA did it for a while.
Yeah.
And it's just such a garbage thing to do. It's so convoluted, and it's so forced. Like, it never makes sense.
It's not legit, but we're making one because it's more legit than theirs.
Didn't they stick Ty Dillinger at number 10?
Yeah. We already saw that.
Dillinger hasn't won a match this year, I believe.
No shit.
I was offended by that.
Notice how he got no votes in our poll. So number 10 was the Usos.
I think they should have been higher.
With 11 votes.
I still think they should have separated them.
I thought someone else should have been higher, but that's just me.
Adrian,
I think you're high.
Then the New Day comes in right after them at 12. Interesting enough, the Usos are the champion.
Yeah, that is.
It's rigged because there are three people in the New Day, and there's only two people in the Usos.
So per person, they're doing pretty good.
Thank you.
We didn't make the team.
Forgetting that logic that I just said.
Continue.
Then Sami Zayn was an eighth with 16 votes.
Reasonable.
Yeah. Reasonable. Him and KO.
He's hot right now.
I would argue that Sami and Kevin Owens should be in the same a team in
they're,
this.
They're very close.
Well, I would argue they should be in the same spot.
We should be including them together.
I am okay with that.
We discussed it. We were trying to figure out if we should do that or not. I think last time we were voting.
I believe we should be putting them together.
Kevin Owens, speaking of Kevin Owens, mm-hmm. he is tied with Bobby Roode for sixth.
Mm-hmm.
18 votes apiece. With one first place vote, I wonder who that was.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Definitely not you. Okay.
I would never vote Bobby Roode one.
Getting into the top five.
Rusev, 19 votes.
Happy Rusev Day, everybody.
Happy Rusev Day.
Glorious
Rusev. You know who's not on this list, Trebuchet?
Who's that?
Lana.
I thought they were a team.
No,
Rusev Day was a team with the Rusev and Lana together.
No votes.
Maybe in the mixed match challenge. Not this.
Come on.
Sorry.
Damn.
I forgot.
I can't wait to win that beer from you.
I knew I was forgetting something. Put Lana on my top 10 list.
We're redoing it if we see this or all seen SmackDown. 20 votes for Shinsuke, who got fourth.
Shinsuke should be
higher. I thought it
should
be second.
Should be second.
Yep.
I think I'm happy with fourth.
I am too.
I actually like.
I think he should be higher.
Becky Lynch in third.
That,
21.
That doesn't make any
That's
sense
too high.
To me
22.
At all.
I agree with that. Too high.
This is a Becky household.
I'm not saying I don't like her. I think she's great, but just due to the current standing, I don't know why she's that high.
Well, this is a Becky household.
First of all, show up with Becky if you won't watch it.
First of all, guys, there is no parameters for this top 10 list. It's based on...
Really?
It is favoritism.
Favoritism. See, I basically put my top 10 in order based on in-ring work and promos and stuff I've seen in the past. I think you're healthy and you should get a push.
We're not basing it based on how they're currently being used.
No, this is just personal opinion.
A little bit. That's the thing. It's individual.
It's a weird
poll,
for sure.
Yeah,
it's I believe
the five of us could book the company better than it's currently being booked, but that's neither here nor there.
What's happening here?
We're getting into my favorite part of this poll here, because I'm all about face wrestlers. One of my favorite wrestlers is a face, but this was a total heel move on my part.
Yeah. Okay, second place, AJ Styles, our current WWE champion, with 3 first place votes. And if you infer that 10 votes for first place voting, someone did not
vote.
The one person that voted for Bobby Roode first place did not have AJ Styles in his poll.
At all.
Fucking up the curve, A-Train.
Wow.
And then
this is why we can't have nice things.
Charlotte, number
A-Train's
one.
Derailed, man.
Charlotte number one.
Charlotte number one.
That sounds real catchy.
What did I miss last week?
Did you watch Mixed Match Challenge where
I sent you the gif of
Lana the best.
Lana number one.
It's just a new chant.
It's so catchy. So catchy.
Oh yeah, we gotta watch that too.
Is Rusev doing anything that isn't over these days? He might be the best part.
He should be on here than five,
you
honestly.
You need to watch the Mixed Match Challenge to understand just how much that statement is appropriate.
Rusev is
I honestly think if I come without watching the new episode of SmackDown, I would put Charlotte, AJ Styles, Shinsuke, and Rusev as four of my top four. I don't know what order, but
I also think, I don't mind men and tag teams together. I think maybe there should be a top 5 list for women. Because it does seem like, how do you, because I always think the WWE champion, so I'm trying to be the highest.
Yeah.
But I'll hear an argument that, should the women's champion be number 2? Should they be number 1? Should they be further down the list?
Then you compare them,
Yeah, I guess, I don't.
Try to decide.
I'll go ahead and say it. I don't think the women's title should be held in the same plane as the WWE title, the most prestigious title in all of wrestling. Sorry. Send your hate mail at Showtime Schultz. I'm sure I'll laugh at it.
That's fine. You can read your hate mail when I'm reading my Shinsuke hate mail.
Okay. unlike me, you deserve yours.
Oh, okay. That's fine.
But also,
I want to be your NWA champion. Send that hate this way.
Also receiving votes, Randy Orton got 6, so he'd be 11th. Naomi got 5, Baron Corbin got 4, Natalya got 3, Jinder Mahal got 2, and Daniel Bryan got 1 vote.
Yeah.
10th place vote.
So I guess this is a no household.
Did Daniel Bryan do something and I missed it?
No.
He's just...
That was my list, and I did favoritism.
He's just got a cool beard.
He should
get a vote for a cool beard. That's fine.
I mean, Ty Dillinger at 10, still worse.
That was my reasoning.
But on the WWEs, there was no heels in their Power 10.
You're right, actually.
What was their Power 10?
We talked about it last week.
Yes, I heard it. I just can't remember it.
Bobby Roode was 5th, Ty Dillinger was 10th. I think AJ was 1st on that one.
Yeah, and I imagine it's probably going to stay that way.
I can't remember like the middle sections of that though.
So are they using this top 10 list to determine a number one contender?
That's what they were saying.
The way they worded it was matches
and like future pushes. Yeah.
So I've always seen this the ranking. Like I've always seen the ranking thing as a means of like the champion. Always number one. Who's doing good right now? And as you climb the ranks, you get title shots.
Yeah.
So, like, number two will get shot, will be, like, the number one contender, and then you have to worry about losing your spot to whomever.
I feel like it would work better.
It's lazy story writing to me.
It does.
It would work better if you, like, class it up in, like, Intercontinental, U.S., WWE.
Yeah, so, like, every title has a contender list. Like, that makes a lot of sense.
But putting everybody together in a whole, it makes this list a little bit...
A little too convoluted. And then, were there women on the top 10 list?
Yeah.
So now you're mixing intergender stuff in there, too. So how do you...
That's what I'm saying. Like, the basis for the top 10...
This all seems so arbitrary.
And because of that, we're going to do it again.
We're going to keep doing it until they're done doing it, because ours is still better. It's not bad.
And they keep tweeting out our power top 10 rankings.
When you word it
that
way, ours even makes a little bit of sense, because if you work with the gender roles of each division, we have Charlotte in first, and if the number one contender was going to be the woman below her, it would be Becky Lynch in third. But then we have AJ Styles in second, who's above every other male,
but
and Shinsuke is beneath him.
But there's no other women on there, so ideally this would work that, like, okay, so on a women's list, Charlotte would be champ.
Yeah, Charlotte would be first in the power rankings.
Okay, so whomever is number one contender, so let's say Becky in this opportunity, she would be number two.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so now there might be a match between Becky and Naomi, who's number three.
Yeah.
Becky and Naomi fight. If Naomi wins, Naomi goes to number two, Becky goes to number three.
Right.
And you can
found the polls. Right?
Yeah, it's that, and then yeah, you do it that way. That makes a lot of sense to me. Now I don't even know that I would put that on TV for the fans
I would
to
not
be perceiving.
Either. No.
But if
you want to be in the boardroom and do it
if
that
wrestling
way.
Was all a shoot,
yeah.
And you were deciding who gets title shots, that's how you do it. And that's how it's done in like boxing. You got here's your top 10 heavyweights. Here's your champion up here, number one contender, number two, number three, and as they fight each other, they move around.
Yep. That makes sense, but we'll see.
I think they should really just do it with one of the belts. Like, they have like an intercontinental thing, and then just do it for just that, and then make regular storylines for the other, and try to see if they can make it appealing to see people go up and down the ladder.
TNA should just come out with a TV title, and then just do it that way.
Does TNA not have a TV title?
I don't know what titles they have anymore. Do they still have the whatever Jeff Jarrett's like
King of the Mountain? Yeah, they do.
The King of the Mountain title became the
TNA
the
title?
Grand Championship.
Okay.
And that's
for a while it was being decided like in a shoot fight thing where like there were points given. I don't know if they're still doing that.
Gross.
Yeah, it's a mess. Sounds... I don't know how that company's limping along.
I liked it a lot for a
company,
while. Just,
that company is the wrestling equivalent of Nikki Six.
Oh.
It's died like 8 times and is still somehow
relevant.
Limping along and hosting radio
the
shows.
Impact World Championship.
Yeah.
The Impact Grand Championship, which was King of the Ring Championship, and Austin Aries holds both of them.
Yeah.
So they're on like the verge of being combined, probably. Never know. Who knows? I'm not really watching it too much. You probably know more than me. Then there's the World Tag Team Championship, the X Division, and the Knockouts. So there's no, like... There's a lot of former championships.
I imagine they may just merge the Grand Championship and the...
Call it good.
The World Championship.
There's the roster getting super thin. They can't really...
They're losing all their top guys.
Everybody.
They can't afford to pay them what a top guy should
be
paying.
Let's get the intern on the roster.
You got a shot, man.
It might actually be easier for you to just infiltrate Impact and then try to say, hey, I'm champion of Impact. I want to challenge the NWA champion and merge together.
I have my own plan here, Cody.
Let me say it like this. You're like a B-list Grand Rapids celebrity. That should get you a spot on the Impact roster.
That'll get my foot in the door, I feel.
That's
not bad.
Look, man. If Pac-Man Jones can be TNA Tag Team Champion, you can be X Division Champion.
That's fair. Yeah. I can wrestle about just as much as Pac-Man did.
Yeah. Probably more. You've watched the product before. I don't think he had either.
You at least have the knowledge to be like, I know this move goes like this. I guess now we're going to find out if I have the strength to do do it.
We're going to be X Trebupac with the X Division Championship.
I will throw the X Factors around.
Trebupac, I like that. By the way, Pac-Man Jones, if you're listening to this, don't ever wrestle again, please. stick to whatever you're doing. I don't. You think he's playing football again? Actually, I think he'll be
in the XFL. Don't worry about it, Chad.
The new XFL.
he can't be in the XFL. You can't have a criminal record in the XFL. This man said so. And Pac-Man Jones got a Met rap sheet a mile
honestly,
long.
Honestly, though, it would not. Don't even think, man. It wouldn't surprise me if that does not hold up.
Oh, of course.
If he can get people. To
like,
watch
well, we need people
other
talent.
Exactly. Yeah.
Watch out, Pac-Man Jones, Johnny Manziel, all coming.
Have Ray Rice in there.
Ray Rice. We're getting so much hate.
Michael Vick, just a phone call away. Yeah.
I want O.J. Simpson as a referee.
Oh my god.
Jeez.
Okay.
Anyway, all right. I believe we're gonna go to final thoughts. Cody Goads, give us your final thought.
I like playing 2K18 on Tuesday.
Yeah.
That's fun.
You're starting 2K Tuesdays now.
I'm starting to time my R2s.
2K Tuesday?
The reversals. He's got to get those reversals down. He learned how to pin.
You guys let me know. You guys let me know when Dr. Robotnik's Me Machine starts back up. I want to destroy some people.
Okay.
We're going to, not for Elimination Chamber, but for Fastlane, I want to do like a tournament, like a bracketed tournament.
With the 2K?
With the 2K18,
we can do that.
Big things popping.
Like a live stream on a channel.
I'm down for that.
That'd be cool.
I've got a final thought for you guys. I had something happen to me this week that I mean, you guys both, Showtime and Joe, or Tribuche, are much more ingrained in the WWE fanship than I am. I'm working my way there. But this made me cringe. I was at the bar the other night, and I noticed this guy next to me playing pool, and he has a yes right here on his shirt on the front, and then a yes on the back, and I'm 90% sure I know where it comes from, and I ask him, I'm like, so what's the yes shirt for? He's like, oh, it's a wrestling thing, and I'm like, I start making the yes motion, he's like, yeah, you got it, and I'm like, yeah, I'm sorry, my favorite one is Glorious, and I do the Glorious hand motions, because I'm a diehard Bobby Roode fan, and he's like, oh, who's that? I'm like, Bobby Roode, and he's like, oh, is that the guy with the gloves? I'm like, no, that is AJ Styles. That is the phenomenal one. You're going to make someone that I know very mad.
I don't know.
Even though I do hold that Bobby Roode is better than AJ Styles.
Well, look at the titles. You're on. Final thoughts, Bruiser?
You go.
I don't know where you are, Dolph, but I miss you.
Oh,
wow. he's in a fatal five-way for a shot at the title for Fastlane. Dolph Ziggler, he gets to he wins the U.S. title. He vacates the U.S. title. He goes away for a few months. He comes back and is number 30 at the WrestleMania or at the Royal Rumble. Loses and gets a shot at for a number one contendership of the title. Dolph Ziggler.
I took a lap and you're still talking about him? Come on, now.
It's going to take longer.
The only thing better than Dolph Ziggler's shot at winning the title is his stand-up comedy, right, Trebuchet?
Oh, my Lord.
Shots are fired.
Ugh. Male cheerleaders, man, I'll tell you. It's right up there with George W. Bush.
I saw someone, like, took the entrance to the Spirit Squad where they, like, all said their name. And put it in with like the Power Rangers.
Oh, that's great!
Thing. It was really great.
That sounds wonderful, actually.
I watched like five times and just
Mikey, Nikki, Johnny.
Yeah, no, it was fantastic.
It's Morphin time.
Yeah,
that's great.
Final
thoughts, Showtime.
O.J. Simpson for head referee of the XFL. Mm-hmm. Thank you. It's great to be back. I missed you guys last week. Happy to be here.
Absolutely. My final thoughts, great to have you back, Chad.
Thanks, buddy.
If you guys want to donate to my GoFundMe, be sure to hit me up. There's a link at TrebuchetLOL. Follow Showtime at Showtime Schultz. Follow the A-Train at...
AlexShummel228.
That's right.
Yeah. And we're gonna
Goad's behind me, but don't tweet at him.
We're gonna tweet out these notes because I lifted up my book, and I think you guys are right. When Cody Goads said, and I had a pound of notes, I think this notebook is noticeably heavier with the ink I poured onto it. And the past,
I am genuinely impressed. Yeah. Three claps for A-Train.
Good job, buddy. So check us out, UndisputedPodcast.com. We will be back next week, and we're gonna tweet out our power rankings soon. I am Trebuchet. Trebuchet out.
Woo!